much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you gonna tell me what's really going on?
Okay.
Like now?
Yeah, I will.
Listening.
All right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, all the cartoons and all the TV shows you see when you're young, like horses and ponies are always really, really cool and happy. They always got like a rainbow or some stars flying behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's a pony, it's a pony. So, like, I'm at the petting zoo, and for some reason, the pony came and bit me. When it happened, I turned around and looked at it. Aside from the fact that the horse didn't look anything like the cartoon or what I saw on TV, it was like, dang, horse, like, I trusted you.
And now.
Wait, we're on the radio?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday, the 27th of May.
What's crackolating?
How y'all doing?
What's this I hear about Burma getting a root canal today?
Yeah.
What a fantastic start to the week.
He has to leave right after work because he's got a root canal.
Sweet.
Mugs, tell us about your weekend. Were you in pain just counting the hours until you could get this surgery?
Well, yeah, I went last week and I noticed like a little pain in the back right part of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I went and they said, yeah, you need a root canal and we need to do it as soon as possible so your tooth doesn't fall out.
How much does it, by the way, if your tooth fell out, wouldn't that just solve the problem?
Yeah, but I like my teeth, Bean. I need them.
Oh, but I thought you were just talking about the tooth that hurts would fall out.
Yeah, but I need all the teeth I can take at this point, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, you really need all the teeth you can take.
You need all the teeth that you can take, yes.
I think you need to get all the teeth around that hurt one removed also, just to make sure it doesn't spread. That's my understanding of how dentistry works.
But then how could he possibly consume that much food if he's trying to gum it?
Yeah, that's true. That would be tough. I forgot. Muggs has special challenges. Well, does it hurt a lot?
It's a little tender right now.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
Should we make him wait?
You wish
no, you cannot leave right after the show today.
Oh,
we had
that stuff for you to do today.
Yep. In fact, I think next week is probably the first time you're going to get a chance.
How dare you?
Yeah, I think sometime in July really is best for you. Hey, speaking of going to the doctor, I thought this was an interesting article, and I'm really surprised. Most of the people that are mentioned that are talked about in this article called 7 Weirdest Plastic Surgery Trends. Most of the people are women in this article, which is weird because guys don't care what girls look like. So I don't know why they go to all the trouble.
I don't know why we bother. You're right.
I don't understand either because guys, we're into your personality. Mm-hmm. We don't really care how you look. But listen to some of these things that are very apparently popular enough that there are doctors all over the world who are doing these surgeries. For instance, the hand lift. You familiar with the hand lift?
No. What is the hand lift?
Some camera-conscious women are getting Juvederm injections to smooth out their hands for engagement ring close-ups. The procedure costs about $1,300, works much like a Botox injection for the face. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes. So you do that to make your hand look better in selfie photos of your ring, apparently.
$1,300?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, now listen, I'm just thinking of pictures we've seen of Madonna before, mm-hmm. and the first thing we go is, oh my God, look at her hands. They're so disgusting and veiny.
Yeah,
and
but so's the rest of them.
Yes. I know, but some women, their hands don't match the rest of them.
They do age ahead. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Dimple implants are number two.
They put in dimples?
Yes, they do. Dimple surgery involves a tiny incision on the inside of the cheek. The whole thing is pretty quick. It takes about 30 minutes. One woman says it's kind of like being an A cup and waking up with double Ds. So apparently some people love dimples and want more pronounced dimples, so they go into the doctor and have that done.
Never heard of that.
Ear cropping and pointing. It's a surgery that is more common in dogs. It's when you remove chunks of ear cartilage. Ear pointing is when you do this to make a point at the top of your ear. The former can result in ear collapse. The latter in looking like a cartoonish alien.
Excellent. Or Spock.
People are going in and having their ears molded, basically, because they're not happy with the way they look. Tongue splitting.
Well, no.
That's a thing.
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah. Ouch.
Usually the people you see do that are also the people who have all the piercings in their face and their, you know, all body tattoo and whatnot. And
they probably got the pointy ears.
They need that little something, that little extra, and they get a forked tongue. Nipple lightning apparently is a thing.
Lightning.
Apparently, lighter-colored nipples are more desirable in places like Japan, where women can bleach them with a cream that costs around $60. At least this one doesn't sound like surgery, by the way. However, in the UK, apparently, darker and bigger nipples are more popular, and nipple tattooing is a thing there. And that's an actual surgery that people do, nipple tattooing. New palm lines. These are people who are superstitious and don't like the way their palms are being read because their lifeline is too short or they don't have enough love in their palm.
Or they're completely suckers.
So they are going in. There are doctors apparently who can adjust the lines in your hand to make you have a better palm read. And finally, iris implants. Apparently, these are for people who want to change their eye color. Apparently, the procedure was designed by a doctor for some people who were born without irises to give them irises. They're born with just the what's the part in the black part in the middle?
Pupil.
Yeah.
Pupil. They just have a pupil, no iris, and that's how this thing was designed. But now people are using it. You know, why put in colored contacts for Halloween if you can just go to the doctor and have them change your eye color altogether? And they've got a procedure where they can do that, where they can actually change it.
Those are all weird to me.
I'd like blue eyes.
Look, go with what you really.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. I'm not doing it, but it'd be kind of cool.
See, that's the difference right there. Some people just go, oh, that would be cool, but no way would I do it.
No, of course not.
But what if you looked into it, Lisa, and you found out that it was inexpensive and very little recovery time and didn't cost that much, didn't have too much downside?
And there wasn't much chance of me going blind? Was there any chance of me going blind?
Well, I can
see. They are working on your eye. Yeah, I don't know.
That makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, you know, millions of people get, get eye surgery every year with the LASIK and stuff. And
I did the LASIK.
Very rarely do you hear about anyone going blind from
That's
it.
True.
Anyway, so there you go. So if you're waking up this morning, you're not feeling so good about yourself, maybe you need some dimple implants and maybe you need a hand lift and you got to get your ear pointed and your tongue split, and your nipples lightened and your iris implants and get your palm read better, then you'll be ready to walk out the door.
Be perfect.
You also need some kind of surgery to not be so dumb and narcissistic. I'm not sure exactly what that is. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're a horrible person.
It's possible. I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
And the reason is because we have the Bachelorette Report.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But they do it so we don't have to watch.
So
that's pretty cool.
It is nice to not have to watch that show but be kept up on it.
Yeah.
Ask a Lawyer today. Very excited about that.
Okay.
We in our long tradition of Ask Us. This one particularly is less sexy than most. Got to be honest. Tenacious D will be here.
How about that?
That's the best.
In the studio, performing live.
Love those guys.
Comedian Jay Mohr on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We're going to find out how Bean's fantastic weekend in Vegas went.
Excellent. I haven't heard any details
with
yet.
His dad.
Oh, it went off.
With his dad, Chief, who hates him.
No, he doesn't. And he doesn't hate me.
He hates you. Man, he hates you. I've not
seen
him. Just
invited you.
You said, I'm coming to join you and my brother. And he said, yeah, not so much of that.
Well, we worked it out. So I went the following weekend. It was better for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Sure. And I don't know if you remember, but last week we talked to Dr. Drew about MRSA. Am I saying that right, Bean? MRSA?
Yes. MRSA and MRSA, two different things that are happening that are both very, very bad. In fact, we just replayed that interview with Dr. Drew a few minutes ago to continue to whip you into a needless frenzy.
Dr. Drew said it was no big deal, but we have Louie, who we're going to talk to, who's a listener, who had it. And, I don't know, 13 surgeries and all kinds of... Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to continue to whip you into a needless frenzy, even though Dr. Drew says you shouldn't be worried.
Well, he hasn't talked to Louie.
Right.
That's right. Louie was in the hospital for 37 days, you guys, with MRSA.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're going to find out all about that.
And last chance Weenie Roast tickets. These are in the pit and backstage passes.
Very cool.
On today's Kevin and Bean Show, we will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 is this Saturday. Whee! We've got your tickets in the pit and Whee! Backstage passes that you can win this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. So listen up for that.
Tight.
Bring that back.
Dave says that.
Oh, boy, does he.
We got to hear that commercial that you're talking about,
we
Ralph.
We made it a whole new break.
Mm. I like it. Hey, first, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. First time for a new week here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
It is Tuesday. We leapfrog over a whole workday, boys and girls. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're able to make it a Tuesday with nobody getting hurt.
If we can do it this week, why can't we do it every week?
Hey, I hear you, brother. since it's Tuesday, but it is the start of the new week, we will look at the holiday weekend box office like we would on a Monday morning. And no surprise, the new X-Men film rolled over all other movies in its debut this past weekend, doing $90 million.
All right.
In North America, Friday through Sunday, and $111 million if you include the Memorial Day holiday totals as well. So over the three-day weekend, over $111 million for X-Men Days of Future Past. Godzilla, still doing very strong. Made about $40 million over the long weekend. Blended, the new Adam Sandler comedy, made a little over $18 million in its debut, which is good, which is a good sign. Only $18 million means there's hope.
Yes.
Hope it just might go away at around 50.
Yes, but isn't that way more than you thought it would get? 18?
No, that's not. That's, first of all, it's not so great, and it's. I figured he's got a hardcore dumb audience that would turn out at least for that much.
How was it, Kevin?
I did not go to it.
I didn't go to it.
I didn't. He's lost terrible. Me. I did have a girl.
Neighbors. $17.2 million minute, number four, then The Amazing Spider-Man. Million Dollar Arm was sixth. The Other Woman, Rio 2, Chef. Only 500 screens cracked the top 10. The new Jon Favreau movie made almost $3 million. And Heaven is for Real, running out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of money and movies, congratulations to Frozen. Disney's animated now classic is now the fifth highest grossing film of all time.
Wow. Thanks to your daughter, Ralph.
Ain't that the truth. Just passed Iron Man 3 over the weekend. As of this weekend, it has sold $1.2 billion worth of movie tickets worldwide.
Unbelievable.
So the top five now reads thusly. Frozen, as I mentioned. Number four, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Fourth, Marvel's The Avengers. Third, Titanic. And Avatar still at number one, likely never to be surpassed. Of course, you heard all about it over the weekend. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West got married. Mad props to the New York Post. You've probably seen this online by now, but they had the best coverage of the weekend by far. In their printed story in the Post, which headlined, "Alert, yawn, Kim Ye weds." The story is just a couple inches of print, but it's perfect. Here's the report, read verbatim from the New York Post. Two jackasses got married in Italy Saturday. Sex tape star Kim Kardashian, 33, wed egotist Kanye West, 36, in a wedding opulent enough for Florence's Medici dynasty and tacky enough for reality TV. Olympic athlete Bruce Jenner walked Kim down the aisle. The Republic still stands. So, well done.
Like
bitch slapping those two. Apparently it was quite the event. A lot of D-grade celebrities. Jay-Z and Beyonce were no-shows. They instead spent the weekend at the Hamptons. Her own brother, Rob Kardashian, didn't go to the wedding.
Love it. Was he working on his sock line?
He flew to Europe. He was there, then apparently got back on a plane and came back to Los Angeles and did not attend the wedding.
Huh.
I'm hoping he turns. I'm hoping he turns on them. And becomes like the anti-Kardashian and just starts...
That'd be awesome.
You know, like when someone escapes from Scientology or something and they become a vocal critic of the cult? It'd be nice if Rob broke free and was able to speak his mind about that family.
Hey, fatty! You are fat!
As you can imagine, Kanye couldn't resist the opportunity to spout off in front of a captive audience. According to sources, he gave a 20-minute speech during the reception. Calling the Kardashian family, and I quote, this is from people who were there, the most remarkable people of our time.
Wow.
I'm sorry, maybe you didn't hear me. The most remarkable people of our time.
Yeah.
Did they hear something I don't know about?
They did not.
Wow.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
Tell me you saw the photos of what Jaden Smith wore to the reception.
Oh, yeah. Jaden Smith wore a white Batman costume.
You don't want him on your team, do you?
He's not.
Oh, okay.
If you're wearing a white Batman costume,
that's not a thing.
Everything dyed white, that's not a thing.
Okay,
all
right.
That's not Batman. That's not anything. That's douchebag man.
Seriously, with the cowl and everything over his face, what's happening?
They all deserve each other. They all deserve each other. The only thing was missing was a drone strike. The only thing that wedding was missing was just napalm. We had the opportunity. We had all of pop culture's Al-Qaeda right there in one location.
That's true.
That's when you send in the SEAL team, right?
I like it.
But no.
Nothing happened.
It was such a circus, too.
Weak-ass Obama didn't have the balls.
A little bit of it on the news, and there were rumors. I mean, everybody in the world was rumored to be there. So all these girls hanging out because they thought Bieber was going to be there, and then all these Bieber impersonators started showing up. The thing was just a freak show.
Yeah. But the best part is now we can all stop talking about it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Show friend Adam Carolla turns 50 years old today. Actor Todd Bridges is 49. Alice in Chains drummer Sean Kinney is 48 years old. Joseph Fiennes is 44 years old. Talented actor Paul Bettany, 43. Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock. Funny guy, 41 years old today. Andre 3000 of Outkast is 39. And actor Chris Colfer from Glee celebrates his 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in a few minutes. Then comedian Jay Mohr will join us. And next hour, Tenacious D is here unveiling the details for this summer's Festival Supreme. Can't wait for that. Love the D. That's all coming up here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show.
Bean's dad, his nickname is The Chief.
Uh-huh.
Or just Chief. And he's not a fan of Bean.
That's a little strong, by the way, to suggest that my dad doesn't like me.
Oh, it's not, he hates you.
He doesn't.
It's
hate
not
me.
Doesn't like.
You are misunderstanding.
There are two brothers in that family. It's Bean mm-hmm. and his brother,
mm-hmm. right?
There's no mom. There's no other family. It's
that's
just
it.
It's Chief. It's John, his brother,
yep.
and
uh-huh.
then there's Bean. Just
that's
the
right.
three of them.
Yeah.
So last weekend, John was visiting Chief in Las Vegas, and Bean said, "Hey, I'll fly down and meet him. This will be fun. We'll have a good time." And then he called Chief, and Chief said, "You know what? Yeah, we got those dinner plans, and then I'm not, and then we're going to go to the lake. So I don't think there's room for you.
You can't.
Not so much.
Maybe another time.
Any other week, but not this one.
When your brother's
fine.
Here,
when your
too.
Brother's in town,
which was fine, by the way, because my brother stayed through this past Saturday night, and I went to Las Vegas this weekend, so I got to see him on Friday night, and then all day Saturday, we had a great time. Everything was fine. Yeah. Went to Denny's in the morning.
I can see you brought the can't excitement
do,
with you. Didn't
can't
you?
Do that in Seattle.
went to see Godzilla.
Uh huh.
You so, saw Godzilla.
My dad really wanted to go. It was not for me.
Chief is more fun than Bean.
Everyone's more fun than Bean. Wait, you said spend some time at the pool?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
What's happening? You hate all of that.
Well, my dad and my brother went in the pool. I sat on a chaise and read a book about the Black Death. But I was there, and I was hanging out with them. I could still see them.
No wonder. Hey, don't interrupt the hate.
Sorry. As a matter of fact, producer Dave tells me that my dad is on the phone, so he's going to back my play here, that we had a great time, and he enjoyed me being down there. He was happy to welcome me to his home, and it was fun. Hi, Dad. How are you?
Yeah.
It was great to see you over the weekend, Chief.
Yeah. Yeah, same here.
A lot of fun hanging out with you and Brother John.
Mm. Yeah. All right.
How long was John there? Like 9 days or
yeah,
something?
We had a great time. It was a hell of a week. Great to see John.
And how long was Bean there?
I don't know. A couple days.
It was about 18 hours, I think, is how long I was in Las Vegas.
Really?
But I feel like we got a lot done. I mean, I feel like we really got to spend some time together and hang out. And we saw Godzilla.
I saw Godzilla. I wanted to see it.
Right.
You went kicking and screaming.
Oh, I went right. with you, though.
Good time, Charlie.
Yeah, was he a wet blanket?
No, you know, he was hanging out, much in the way a cold sore hangs out.
I don't think I like that analogy, Dad.
It was fine.
Well, what did you do this weekend? Give us a recap, because it sounded like last weekend you stayed really busy.
We had to go to freaking Denny's. We went there.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, you know, if we didn't, then Rain Man would start kicking at the door or something. Uh-oh, 10 minutes to Wapner. So we calmed him down by taking him to Denny's.
Okay.
And then John and I wanted to take a little swim, and then Plague Boy there was Well, he just sat under an umbrella reading a book, which was just a good time.
Yeah.
Just a lot of fun. Boy.
Really, sounds like he really spiced up your weekend.
Yeah. First of all, the glare off that massive white body. You have no idea. People were burning in the by the pool. It was like that, the window that the sun comes off there in Vegas, the death ray.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It was like the bean death ray.
Yeah.
And... But it was all over in about a day, so really you can't complain.
18 hours.
Yeah. I know. It felt like 18 days.
Did it?
Underwater. It was just,
Well, listen, there's other, holiday weekends in the summer. I can come back if you want for 4th of July. We can hang out some more. Or...
Oh, geez.
Come on. Thought we had a good time. This is uncalled for.
Oh, must have been Denny's.
I'm sure it was.
Why wasn't Harvey Levin at the Kardashian wedding, by the way? Hasn't he done more for that family than anybody? He's written a billion words about the Kardashians over the past few years.
Good point.
Harvey, they should have invited you, dude. What happened?
We discovered them.
You did?
What?
In 2007, Paris Hilton was going inside Hyde, and she brought this chick... And specifically to humiliate Tara Reid, who she was having a fight with.
Right.
And they sauntered in, and all the guys in my office were saying, "Who's that girl?" And nobody had ever seen her before, and it was Kim. So we put it up on the website, and we started putting videos of her up, and that's how Kim started.
How about that?
And we didn't get an invitation.
Is that something that you should brag about?
That's how I feel. I'm very torn here.
So that was even before the sex tape and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was the first time.
How about that? And what's your relationship like with them, by the way? I'm sure they're obsessed with TMZ. They read about themselves all the time. Do you get a lot of reaction from the family?
Yeah, and a lot of times they hate us, and sometimes they say, that was good. But they, it's not like we're their publicists, trust me.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And one more question, then we want to talk about some of the specifics of the weekend, and that is... is it still driving page views like crazy, like Kardashian stories are still the bread and butter?
Yeah, I mean, look, Saturday was a big day. I mean, people were going crazy for it. But the bigger story for the weekend?
Yeah.
Mayweather.
Mayweather, yeah.
Really?
I love that story, too.
More traffic than Kim.
All right, well, let's start there, then. Let's talk about that. What happened? A lot of people who check out over the weekend. Tell us about the fight.
Well, I will, but can I just tell you one thing about the Kardashians? Because we just have to talk about this.
Sure.
During Kanye's speech, he said at the wedding...
Was it really 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Of course. This is a quote. The Kardashians, the most remarkable people of our time.
Yeah.
Well, because of all those diseases they're curing.
That is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wow. I know.
All right. So you were saying, during Kanye's speech...
That was it.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
What about Rob? Tell us the real deal about Rob. He was not exactly opening up to your cameras when you caught him at the airport.
No, I mean, look, he's gained a lot of weight, and it's not like he's hiding it, but there's something going on in that family. And
did he really fly all the way there and then turn around and come back?
Oh yeah, he was not at the wedding. He stormed out. I mean, there was a huge family fight.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
He is big, but I mean his family probably doesn't care about that, or do they? Do they make you get on a scale before you're allowed to get one of their photos?
Well, then Chloe would never make it.
Right. the thing about Rob, now I can't vouch for this, but one of the things we heard was they posed for Vogue magazine. And they were upset that he didn't lose the weight. Now, I'm not going to vouch for that. There are all sorts of stories about this. But I don't know. He's not a happy guy.
Are you going to put up a poll like you do on TMZ.com, Harvey, to ask your readers how long they think the marriage of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian will last?
We did. And the lion's share thought definitely not 5 years.
Oh, really?
Wow. Fewer than 5 years. I mean, this is Kim's third wedding, right? So she doesn't have a great track record.
No. And, a lot changes once you get married. And, at a point, where do you say, this isn't my thing? I don't, right. And I'm not saying it's her, but, you know, this is the third one.
But I would also suggest that they are such unbelievable fame whores that they would do, they'll put up with anything from Kanye just because they want to be famous.
What if he gets sick of it?
He leaves. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean,
either way, they break up. Yeah. All right. In our remaining moments, Harvey, because we know you got a meeting to go to, tell us about the Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight.
So they're at Fatburger. He's at Fatburger on Sunday morning early. And T.I. comes over there. He's next door. And they get in a huge brawl. And you see this thing. And there are chairs. We got video of this. And there's, you know, everything is flying. Now, we are told it was over for T.I.'s wife, Tiny, that T.I. felt that Floyd was hanging out with her and making a move on her, and he insists that's not true, but they got in this enormous, enormous fight. And the funny thing is T.I. posted this video because there were stories that Floyd gave him two black eyes. And so he posted this video where he doesn't have black eyes, but his hand is in a bandage, and he's making it look like he beat the crap out of Floyd.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I understand that somebody needs to learn how to control your bitch. Is that the story?
That's what that supposedly.
Is that what Mayweather said?
Yeah. I mean, that's supposedly what he said. And now, he did say that. And as a matter of fact, he was at a strip club later that night, and he made some comment about basically hoes are to blame for everything. And it's on video. So he actually went to the strip club and brought bricks of money and was and guys, he was throwing so much money around. There was one stripper who carted her money off in a pillowcase.
Oh my God.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
That's awesome. Any police involvement in that fight at all?
Yeah, but nothing's going to happen. I mean, it was just a mutual brawl. They're not going to do anything.
Great stuff.
Was Mayweather, did he have a bunch of his giant security? Or no?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. I mean, it was crazy. Look at the video. It's insane.
All right, see that video at TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and all your fine family of TMZ television shows on Fox Channel 11. Harvey, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Good talking to you guys.
Welcome back from the holiday weekend. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday morning. A listener of ours who survived MRSA joins us in about 20 minutes to tell us what that nightmare is like. And our friends Jack and Kyle from Tenacious D in the 7 o'clock hour. First, though, did I hear somebody clearing his throat?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he knew he was up yet.
Climb up on my faithful steed. Then we're going to ride, going to smoke some weed. Climb up on my big ass steed. Ride.
We are excited about the D as well, Jay. I know. You're opening for the D.
Man, I'm very impressed that you guys have Tenacious D on. I'm small potatoes. I love it.
Hey, let me give out the information real fast, Jay, because I know you want to talk. Fox Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. Jay Moore on stage at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose Avenue tonight at 8 p.m. See the great Jay Moore in person on stage for just $20. Tickets available at improv.com. So what's going on, Jay?
Yeah, tonight, big show. It's a Tuesday night, and scrambling to get some press together. And I said, you know what? I'm going to email my good friends Kevin and Bean, and here we are. I appreciate you guys hooking it up. It's tonight. It's 8 o'clock at the Melrose Improv, and it's only $20. Usually it's about $30, $35, $40 to see me live. Tonight I'll do an hour and a half working on that hour that my wife writes. She's an insomniac. I'm sleeping with the writer. You know, my wife knows my biggest fears, and I'm not afraid of snakes or spiders, but she knows I'm afraid of British children. Oh, they scare the hell out of me. Like, if I'm at a park, I always think I'm, like, on acid watching Pink Floyd, The Wall. Look, Mommy, there's an airplane in the sky. I always, like, they're all, like, milky. You can see their veins in their forehead. They always got bad teeth, and they got crust around their mouth. They're disgusting, awful people. And one night, I came home at 3 in the morning from a gig, and my wife was up with the baby. He was teething. He was like 1 and a half. He was a mental. He was nuts. I told my wife, I said, you go to bed. I'll sleep on the baby's couch in his little room, the little chair. And in the middle of the night, he cries. I change his diaper, and I got him. I'm walking him back to the crib, and he picks his head up, and he looks me right. And this is all true. He goes, hello, darling. my wife hooked. Oh, they worked on it for like weeks behind my back.
Your wife like rehearsed him?
Yeah,
awesome.
And I completely dropped him. Like it's carpeted. It wasn't like abuse, you know. And I fell back. This is all completely true. I fell back into the chair, and I went, And the baby, like, picked up on it, and he started crawling towards me going, hello, daddy, hello, darling.
Come on.
I'm just trying to, like, push him away, like, my foot.
It's a horror movie. Now, Jay, let me ask you a question, a follow-up on that, though. Is it normal? American kids don't scare you at all.
No, it's British.
It's just children. British.
Yes. They scare the hell out of me.
That's weird.
And I tried to scare her with the baby, and I failed. Talk about epic fail. I told her, I brought the baby home in the truck and from the store, and I said, go inside and tell mommy, say, daddy's dead. And he goes, I let him out of his car seat, he crawls in the house, and I realized, well, I've been sitting here in the truck with my eyes closed for about 40 minutes. I go in the house, they're just on the floor like playing Lincoln Lock. I go, what's going on? And he goes, look, daddy's dead. I'm like, oh, not now, you idiot.
Timing.
Oh,
he'll learn.
Brutal. So Harvey Levin came on, talked about the Kardashian wedding.
He
I was
did.
Listening to that. Those two animals finally tied the knot. You no longer have to go to the zoo to watch people, watch rhinos have sex. You can just get the Ray J sex tape and see that porn star, Kim Kardashian.
Now, Jay, what is your guess on the length of this marriage?
I say it's going long haul.
You do?
I say they die married.
You're
I'm not
crazy.
Saying how old they're going to I didn't say how old they're going to be when they die. Look, if those two kids can't make it, then maybe all of us can.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, Jay Moore.
Doesn't Kanye look like he has mumps? He always kind of looks like he has
yeah,
mumps.
Yeah, he does.
He certainly looks.
He doesn't look happy nope. for a guy who's immensely talented, has a great life, a great career. Apparently, is very much in love with his wife and daughter. He never really looks that happy, though.
No, never. And you know, my wife would call that a sore winner.
Yeah, right.
With some of those people.
Jay right, Moore so on yes, the phone
tonight,
here.
8 o'clock.
On the Kevin Beach, yes. 8 o'clock, Hollywood Improv on Melrose Avenue. Hey, tickets available just $20 at improv.com. I wanted to ask you
yes,
about
sir.
This, Jay, because I'm sure you're going to be talking about the Dodgers on your sports radio show today.
Oh, it's Dodgers.
Is there any progress at all? And I was thinking about this, of course, this weekend for all the hundreds of thousands of Dodger fans that couldn't watch the no-hitter on Sunday. Is there any progress whatsoever on getting some sort
None.
Of new deal where people can watch it?
None, and there's no incentive to. And I tweeted this about a month ago that TV contracts are completely pricing fans out of the entire baseball experience, and it's literally going to be to the point where, like, going to a game itself is so much money. Cause
so expensive, yes.
Yeah, the teams, you used to be able to pay $15 and go to a game. And I don't mean the good old days, you know, I mean like 5 years ago,
right.
You might upper deck seat for like $10-$15. But these TV contracts, the teams have to overcompensate. I don't know what it is, but it's just like going to an NBA game. And what's happening is less. If you look at any photo of Major League Baseball attendance, any random game, Angels yesterday in Seattle. Seattle's mm-hmm. Memorial Day.
That's right.
Empty. And what's going to happen is it's going to be just like a TV show where you just film it on a soundstage that's empty. You know, when they do a Modern Family, when they film that show,
right.
There's not 20,000 people there cheering Ed O'Neill on. And that's just going to be how baseball goes into the next century. Just a big, empty ballpark.
That sucks. Why is there no incentive? What's the – where? How does that happen?
I don't know. I haven't figured out – I didn't really think it through that much. I just sent it to
you. You should toss it out. I mean, the Dodgers would argue, hey, we signed that deal with Time Warner because that gives us more money to go out and get better players and field a better team. Granted, but what good is it to have a team if your fans can't watch them?
How about this, Bean? What good is it to have numbers, retired Dodger numbers, in the parking lot if they're not in numerical order? It's not helping me at all. If number 9 is next to number 55, that doesn't help me, you idiot.
That's painful to even hear that exists, Jay Moore.
How does nobody talk about that? If
that's
somebody
a great
listening
point.
Has not been to Dodger Stadium, any famous Dodger, their number is on a big lit-up baseball that is like a beacon. Like if you park in a parking structure, it'll say F1, F2, F5, or if you go to an airport, it's all numbered in order,
right.
B1
of course.
Or B2. At Dodger Stadium, it's like 13, it's next to like 21, and then right after that is 8, and you're like, wait, what?
That's unacceptable.
What am I, John Nash, a beautiful mind? I got to get out my schematic to park my Prius.
That's unacceptable. Wow, I never even realized that.
Oh, that's going to bother Bean forever now.
It really is. It's they can't
Bean,
do
you
that.
You get yourself it's something you can obsess over, and it's a good thing because it's so absurd. If you get yourself a photograph of that parking lot, you'll just go, wait, what?
Listeners who have that photo, please send it to Bean. It'll make his head explode.
Seriously, any requests, you guys, any impressions you guys want today before we get out of here?
8 o'clock tonight, Melrose Improv. Oh, here's the thing.
Right.
I am practicing my new special, so I really do need a full house. So if anybody's on the fence about what to do tonight, just roll up last minute, just pay the $20, come see me live, and I guarantee it'll be great. That's
what are you going to do with your special? You know, these days, a lot of the comedians...
I'm going to do it myself.
You can just put it on your website, right? That's the way to go.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. But, you know, Louis C.K., who's brilliant, and I have nothing bad to say about Louis C.K. whatsoever, except he did it first. He set the bar, but he did it at $5.
Right.
Gee, thanks, multimillionaire. He did it at $11. We all could have drank from the same trough. $5. I'm trying to make a living here, you jerk. He could have done like $9, $10. He's like, no, $5.
Yeah.
I own a boat. Don't worry about it. It's $5. I'm like, well, I don't own a boat, and I'm making radio money. Make $40 for my special right now.
All right. Go see the great Jay Mohr on stage tonight. Improv.com. Tickets just $20. Showtime is at 8 o'clock at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. It's going to be a great show. Very excited to have you back on, Jay. It's been too long, my friend. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, B, I'm going to get you pregnant with my wheelchair glove.
I'm not sure what that means, but I like it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Dave Grohl says the songs on the new album are going to be just custom made for stadiums. So it's going to be
sweet.
Big and it's going to be loud. New Foo Fighters record coming out.
I like loud. That would be good for me. I enjoy loud.
I do like loud.
Loud's good. Like hey, speaking loud. Of loud, sold out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014 is happening this Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We got tickets in the pit and backstage passes you can win coming up on this morning's show. Go to KROQ.com for details. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, but it's like a Monday because we all had a long weekend. And with that in mind, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the holiday weekend. X-Men Days of Future Past, as expected, crushed the competition with a little bit over $111 million for the long weekend.
Is it as good as everyone says it is, you guys?
I haven't had a chance
to check it out yet. I loved it. But, Ralph, there was a scene after the credits that I didn't understand.
I have not seen it, so I cannot tell you.
We'll talk about this later.
Okay. Good chat. Worth doing on the air, I think. Godzilla was second with about $40 million, then blended the Adam Sandler movie, Neighbors, and The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was fifth. Million Dollar Arm with John Hamm. So dreamy. Sixth with 8.7 mil. The Other Woman, Rio 2, Chef, and Heaven is for Real were your top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of John Hamm, Kevin, you can just do a crossword puzzle.
Okay.
Or something. But Sunday's mid-season finale of Mad Men.
Awesome. Yeah.
Holy moly. In fact, hot fudge holy moly.
Yeah! Hot fudge holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge holy moly! I'm going to have some fun.
Maybe one of the best hours of television I've seen in a long, long, long time.
This season has been incredible. And when Kevin starts from the beginning and gets caught up, man, he's really going to enjoy Mad Men.
You know, you laugh, but a friend of mine said, I've just started season one.
Really?
And I said, I'm so jealous because you have so much good stuff coming your way over the next seven
seasons.
It's
so rich, isn't it?
It's just ridiculous. This season's been nuts.
What did you say? It's tight?
I say it's tight. It's red. tragic news. Porn star Billy Glide has passed away.
I don't know Billy's work.
Billy's a legend. Over 700 films to his name. Started in the porn industry in 1995. Huge body of work. L.A. MILF Truck, of course. Teens in Tight Jeans 3.
Sure.
The best of all the Teens in Tight Jeans.
Oh, I think that's a classic. Instant classic.
Who's Your Daddy 14. A Cougar Safari. Just a ton of great films. The 43-year-old veteran porn star was bitten by a rattlesnake over the weekend. He was helping his friend move.
See? Don't do that.
And his friend had a pet rattlesnake. And Billy got bitten and said, I don't need to see a doctor.
Really?
No. Ew.
Went to sleep.
Oh, my God.
Never woke up.
Wow.
Don't do that, people. If a rattlesnake bites you, see a doctor. More importantly, don't have a pet rattlesnake. Anyone. Stupid. So now Billy's gone, man. He will be missed.
Wow. I mean, I would understand it more if it's a rattlesnake in the wild, you know, something that he actually just stepped on walking to the car or something like that. But it was probably contained in a cage or something.
Until you open the cage because you're moving. Don't help for your friend's move.
That?
That's the story.
Takeaway.
That's the message you're getting out of that story?
Yep.
I see.
Move yourself.
Why is Bill Murray better than everyone?
He just is.
A lot of reasons.
Over the weekend, Bill, for whatever reason, I don't know why, was in Charleston, North Carolina.
Okay.
And I believe it's North Carolina. Who knows?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Maybe, is there a Charleston, Massachusetts?
Not that I'm aware of, but maybe.
It doesn't say what state this particular city was in.
Okay.
But over the Memorial Day weekend, there's a bunch of guys from Boston College who got together for their friend EJ's bachelor party. And they're at a steakhouse. And one guy goes downstairs and says, Bill Murray's sitting down there with some people, eating at this fine restaurant in a fishing vest. Let's send him some drinks. And so they get the waiter and say, send Bill Murray a round of drinks for his table, whatever he wants. So the waiter goes over, he comes back, Mr. Murray declined your offer, but thank you. And the guy's like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. So one of the guys, out of 20 of a bachelor party, gets the nads to go over to the table and says, my friends and me were upstairs in the private dining room, and my buddy's getting married. It would be great if you could stop by and say a few words. Bill says, no thanks, man, sorry. The guy goes up to his crowd and says, yeah, I just talked to Bill Murray. I asked him to come up, and no, he's not going to do it. And they said, oh, it's okay. So they go on with the party. I don't know, half an hour later, who walks into the room? Bill freaking Murray walks into your bachelor party.
Yeah.
Just walks into your bachelor party. Just shows up like a ghost and starts holding court. Starts giving advice to everyone in the room. Luckily, one of the guys pulled out his phone and got some video. It's a little, audio's a little hard to get through, but here's a little taste of a speech Bill Murray launched into for everybody at EJ's bachelor party.
You know how funerals are not for the dead, they're for the living? Bachelor parties are not for the groom, they're for the
These drunken guys are hanging out. Bill Murray comes in, starts partying with them. Then at the end of his, he gets some great advice about women and relationships. And then he goes, let's get EJ up on our shoulders. And they all lift him up on their shoulders. And then everybody turns around. Bill Murray's gone.
Oh, my God.
Magic
like
trick.
Like a ghost. Everybody's focusing on the guy up on the shoulders. And he just ducks out and boom, he's gone.
They USA!
Bill Murray.
USA!
Unbelievable.
USA!
And this is like the 20th story of Bill Murray showing up and bartending at a frat party or, you know, any number of other things. The guy is just, he's amazing.
He does seem to get a kick out of his celebrity.
He sure does.
Like it says in this article, that's his job now. It's just to pop up in random spots and make our day. Sure. That's what he does. He's like the goodwill ambassador of joy. He just goes around just dropping little bits of happiness wherever
showing up and just joining you for your karaoke party. He does that.
He's the opposite of Bean.
He is.
Right?
How dare you?
He is fun personified. He is the human form of fun. And Bean is the human form of misery. They should be like arch enemies. If this was a comic book, they would never stop fighting each other.
Oh, Murray made them happy. Oh, I've got to do something to counteract
it. I'll bring Murray down with my nuclear ray gun.
That's amazing, though.
You are the anti-Bill Murray. Yep. I'm just going to start calling you from a not Murray.
Instead like
of Bean, I will call you not Murray Baxter.
How dare you?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Chris Colfer of Glee is 24 years old. Andre, 3000 of Outkast, is 39. Jack McBrayer, funny man from 30 Rock, is 41. Paul Bettany, boy, is he a good actor, 43 years old. Joseph Fiennes of the acting Fiennes family. His brother Rafe, of course, another talented actor. He's 44. Sean Kinney, drummer for Alice in Chains, is 48 years old today. Todd Bridges, from Facts of Life fame. Nope. From Different Strokes fame is 49 years old. And Adam Carolla turns 50 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
World's greatest rock band, Just Ask Him, Tenacious D, joins us in studio this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Petros Papadakis joins us for the Bachelorette Report later on and your chance to ask a lawyer. We had Dr. Drew on a few days ago talking about the rise of MRSA infections around this country. Now, apparently, I didn't know too much about this, but you do see stories every once in a while. There are two different kinds of MRSA, you guys. It's a bacteria that some people get in hospitals when they're in there. And then the more worrying kind of MRSA infection is happening now among healthy people, where all of a sudden you get a skin boil and it's spread by skin-to-skin contact, and it's common with people who are, you know, just hanging out with lots of other people, like your
flying or something like that. And you just pick something up from somebody. The next thing you know, you got MRSA and you're in the hospital and they're amputating stuff.
Now, we tried to convince everybody that you were going to die and most likely today. Mm-hmm. But then we talked to Dr. Drew and he said, oh, you're not going to get it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah, he did try to make it seem like the chances of actually getting MRSA were pretty remote. And that was news to a Kevin and Bean listener named Louie who wrote in and said that he, in fact, did have MRSA and it was no picnic. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean show right now. Hi, Louie. How are you, man?
Good morning. It was indeed no picnic. Thank you.
I bet. How long ago did you have MRSA?
Oh, probably about 3.5, 4 years ago.
And how do the doctors think you got it?
Well, there's a few theories. Obviously, you can get it just sitting on a bus stop, you know, anywhere mm-hmm. public. I like to think I got mine. I played in a rec bar hockey league, and, you know, obviously the locker rooms aren't too sanitary. The equipment only washes so much, you know.
It's a much cooler way to get it, though.
Yeah, totally. It sounds better when you
right.
So walk us through it. What was your first indication that you were sick?
Well, you know, I had a game on Tuesday night. I went to work the next day and started feeling like this irritation on the inside of my leg. And then within, I'd say about 24 hours after that, I started to get really sick, like flu-like, fever, vomiting. I couldn't eat, couldn't drink. And that went on for about 3 or 4 days. And this was right before Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving was pretty much everyone's heads up that, you know, something was wrong. I didn't eat my usual, you know, 10 pounds of food.
I said 3 or 4 days. I would guess that's normal just because you figured it was the flu. There's nothing they can do.
Right. And because I was preoccupied with heaving every 5 seconds.
Sure.
I think I didn't really notice what was happening, you know, on my leg. And, you know, eventually it kind of turned into, it looked like a spider bite. And then it kind of just morphed into this growth. And it turned red, and then it kind of recessed back down in the skin, but it still hurt to the touch.
Ew.
Wife's kind of like, okay, you know, you got to go. You
gotta okay, go. So you,
well, you
got to
go, meaning she's divorcing you? Or
no, you got to go to the hospital. You got to go to at least a clinic. You got to go get it checked out, see what it is. You've been here for 4 days. You know, it's hurting me, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, 4 days, even for the flu, that's a long time to not start to see some improvement. Usually those things work their way through. So you go to the clinic, and they look at you, and they go, dude, emergency room now, right?
Exactly what happened. I went to, like, a little clinic down here. I live in Doherty area out here by the 605. So I went to the El Monte USC clinic, and they basically said, go straight there. Don't stop. Don't go anywhere else. Don't do anything. Go straight there.
Did they tell you what it was at that point?
They had no idea. They looked horrified, and that kind of spooked me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so you get to the emergency room, and then what happens, Louie?
300 people there waiting to be seen.
Oh, that's my God. Sweet.
Oh.
I'm over-exaggerating, obviously, but, I mean, there's at least 150 people sitting in the waiting room outside trying to get seen. I tell the lady what I'm feeling. She says, go back here. And immediately I'm ushered into a separate room where they, you know, it's kind of like the next in line. I kind of just bypass everybody. Vitals taken, and then within 10 minutes of that, I'm in a room by myself, which looks like an emergency, like an operating room, but I'm solo. There's no one else in there, no lights on. About 4 hours after, 4 hours later, they finally, or not 4 hours later, it's more like 2 hours later, they took me into my first surgery.
Into your first surgery?
Whoa.
Wow. And what were they trying to just dig out something out of your leg?
They were doing an exploratory, is what they told my wife. They wanted to see what was going on, so they can open it up, go inside, see what it is. So.
And so that was one surgery.
That was one surgery. That was the first day.
Okay. All right. And then what happens next?
After that, I basically had two more surgeries in those next 2 days, although I don't remember. I was sedated, put into a medically induced sedation to not experience anything. So basically, wow. I woke up 3 days later, opened my eyes, and I'm restrained. I have the, you know, the tube down the throat so you can't talk. I see my wife there. I kind of motioned her, like, you know, what's going on? You know, so, you know, it was pretty mind-boggling to open your eyes again after 3 days and not realize that those days had passed.
I bet. And I bet you also were terrified and looked down to make sure you know, they didn't take a leg off or something.
This is the thing. I couldn't feel anything, so I didn't want to know anything or see anything other than my wife and what happened. Why? What am I doing here?
Wow.
And she basically said that, you know, they did a surgery and they kind of, you know, she started to explain it, but I was so sedated I didn't really put it together that they had already taken a chunk out. They had opened up my leg, and I had an open wound on my leg with this, like, vacuum thing on it.
Ugh.
To, like, keep the wound moist so that it could stay open but not die, and all kinds of crazy stuff.
So, Louie, you said in your email that you ended up staying in the hospital for 37 days. You had 13 surgeries, which each of those surgeries, them going in and just trying to get more and more of the bacteria-infected tissue out?
Yeah, the last three of the four surgeries were like a bereavement, which is to just go in and clean out every infected area that has any trace of it. And so,
how close were you to dying?
I didn't know this till later, but a few months later, I saw the main surgeon where I work. Like, I just kind of bumped into him, and my boss asked him, so, how close was he? And he basically told me it was about a 15 to 20% chance that I was going to live through the day.
Oh, my God.
Another mind blown. You're standing in front of your coworkers. You're like, oh, okay, I didn't even know that.
And your wife, by the way, at the time of this incident, was 8.5 months pregnant?
She was. I went in November 28th, 29th, something like that, and she gave birth on January 13th.
That is a weird Christmas for you guys. I'll tell you that.
She got out a week before she was born, so there.
How are the scars?
Oh, they're pretty epic. I don't go swimming too much anymore. You know, it's not that I don't. It's like I feel uncomfortable. It's just I don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable.
Right. Do you have any pain anymore, or are you completely recovered?
I feel like I'm completely recovered. Technically, in the state of California, I'm disabled. So if I didn't want to work, I didn't have to. But
sweet.
Yeah, but I'm not doing that.
How do I get that deal?
Now, you also said in your email, Louie, and we're so grateful that you wrote in. It's so interesting to talk to you, and I can't even imagine what it was like for your family going through this. But you said you had no insurance at the time. How did that resolve itself?
Here's the thing. You know, the jobs that I've had, you know, they haven't really been offered through work. And then on top of that, like, trying to get my kids covered was the most important thing.
I can't even imagine how expensive that hospital stay and all those surgeries was.
I think I got a bill once. It didn't say I owed any money, but it was over $1 million.
Oh, my God. Dude.
So if I try to buy a house at some point, they're just going to kind of, you know what? Maybe you want to.
They're just going to put you down.
Yeah.
You know, the most terrifying thing about your story, Louie, is that it wasn't risky behavior. You were just living your life doing stuff that people do, and it just happened to you, just randomly. There's nothing you could have done to avoid getting MRSA.
Not unless I knew to, like, take colder baths so that bacteria doesn't survive. I mean, there's so many different things that people tell me now, like how to take care of yourself. You know?
Like what? Tell us how to avoid getting that.
Supposedly, bacteria only sticks to hot water, so when you take hot showers, it, like, survives through it. But, like, at the very end, if you take, like, a cold rinse, you might be able to get some of it off.
Well, that's not worth it. Sorry.
Cold water for the birds. All right. Well, phenomenal story, and we're so grateful that you survived it, and the wife's fine, the baby's fine, everybody's good now?
Yeah, I got two beautiful girls, so three beautiful girls. I have my wife, I have my two daughters, everything's good. You know, I just... I'm forever grateful for the people at LA County USC, the Keck Medical Center. Their trauma team it's unreal what they did, because you read about the girl in Georgia, and she lost two arms and two legs.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you know, and she went in the first day. I talked to a woman whose husband died after 2 days. He went on a hiking trip up here in the mountains, got scratched somehow, something got in, and within 2 days he was gone.
Would you say that it's probable that all of our listeners will have this by tonight?
That's very doubtful. I think. I think if you do anything different than what you're normally doing, you want it to happen. You know, you want something to happen. Just go out and do what you're going to do, and if something wants to grow on your leg, then it will.
Wow. Louie, thanks so much for writing, man. We really appreciate the time, especially you coming on and sharing your story with us today. Good luck to you, my friend.
I gotta get my girls ready for school now.
Okay, man. We'll let you get to it. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
I don't like that. So far, off to a bad start.
Dude, that was TNT.
I'm gonna s*** you gently. They formed a band, they named Tenacious D. And then they got to pick a destiny. Cause it's a play, a destiny child. Rocking and freaking rolling and freaking rocking and freaking rolling and freaking
the government totally sucks, you mother trucker.
The government totally sucks.
Come on, you guys.
Wow.
Is it wrong to like your own material that
No,
much?
It's refreshing.
Because I was dancing.
It is funny. We have some musicians in here who will literally throw their headphones off. Yeah. They don't want to hear it.
Some of those musicians, they'll be furious that you didn't play any of the new songs, but not us.
I can't help but notice that it was.
Jack Black did have jazz hands, though. I was noticing that. So I like that. That's a good move.
Yeah, Jack is here. Kyle is here. It is the greatest band in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Tenacious D stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock with a very important announcement. Is it really time to talk Festival Supreme for 2014 already, boys?
Yeah. You know, it seems a little early, doesn't it?
It sure does. Because it's not until October 25th.
Yeah, but it's time for the announce.
It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. When you finish, you got to start over.
Start right back up again. Right. Yeah. Now, before we get into the details of this year's festival, last year was the first year that you did it, right? And it was down in Santa Monica, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
And it sold out.
Yeah, we sold all of the tickets, and the pier was bursting at the seams, which is part of the reason why we had to change venue. Went to a new place.
You're too big for Santa Monica.
We were too big for the pier. And also, there were some problems with the plumbing there. We promised people the finest toilet experiences in the land. And it doesn't matter. Look,
we let them go.
It seems to follow you, Jack, if you don't
sure
mind
does.
My saying so.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm just saying the last time you were in here, we had to call a plumber.
We're bringing that up again?
I did not bring up this third world toilet that you blamed on me.
That thing had problems for weeks.
Yeah,
let's just get that settled once and for all.
Did you not walk into our office and say you're going to need to call a plumber?
And yet, you know what?
That was
a good deed that I did.
Okay.
Because, you know, and what? How do I get repaid?
Well, I'm saying
that you guys ridicule me about ruining your toilet for years.
But you brought up the toilets. That's what.
But then you talked about it on the air. Yeah,
all right.
About how my poisonous duty destroyed your toilet, which is not true.
Let me just say,
it was a regular sized loaf. Okay, your toilet was the problem. Okay,
all right.
Anyway,
so, all that ugliness is out of the way. Okay,
we can put it behind us now. So, how did you decide on the LA Sports Arena and Exhibition Park?
I should say Exposition Park, more correctly.
We looked at a lot of different venues.
Yeah, we looked at a golf course in Pasadena.
That's perfect for our edgy comedy festival.
Sure. Yeah. Right? This was the perfect spot. It had all the space that we needed. It's a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And we just walked down there and walked all around the grounds and envisioned the magic that would be Festival Supreme Part 2, The Metal Years.
And your idea was, if I recall correctly from last year, boys, that there's not enough comedy and music together in one location at one time, right?
Well, yeah, it was a festival that its time had come. There were so many funny songs and musician comedians out there that we were like, let's get them all together for one, you know, cornucopia of creativity.
Now, when you look back at last year's Festival Supreme, do you feel like you learned a tremendous amount? Do you think, like, was there a lot of stuff that you did wrong and you need to change? Or how did, 'cause promoting is a whole different thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know about promoting. We always just go, we go no stone unturned. We come straight to K-Rock. We let the people know. But we learned a couple things about moving mass amounts of people into different stages. There was a intimacy tent for the stand-up comedians because they seem to do better with like a nice comfy, cozy little environment, but it was too comfy and cozy.
It was anything but.
There was almost rioting when people couldn't squeeze into that little venue to see Patton Oswalt.
You couldn't get in after it's over.
Yeah. So we figured out the flow.
That's
the
right.
flow
okay.
is going to be.
The flow is very important
sure.
in the festival business.
Sure.
I learned.
And,
so it's all about flow.
Okay. Saturday, October 25th, LA Sports Arena and Exposition Park. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Festival Supreme. frontgatetickets.com, is that right?
Yeah.
festivalsupreme.frontgatetickets.com is where you want to go. General admission tickets are just $99, by the way. There is a VIP package that you can get the details on that's more, that involves lots of cool stuff.
I don't know who Frontgate Tickets is. Look, well, I'm sure that's true.
That, have you?
I'm sure that's true. But if you can't remember that, you can just go to festivalsupreme.com.
Okay. Okay.
Also,
our paperwork is often sketchy here on the Kevin DeBean Show, but I'm sure you can get to it through Festival Supreme. All right, so we got a tremendous tremendous lineup, a great list of entertainers. Who are you so excited about that you got this year, maybe that you couldn't get last year?
Well, we got a ton of amazing people, and we didn't want to do any repeaters this year.
That's tough.
Because a real festival, you know, Coachella doesn't have Radiohead 3 years in a row.
Right.
So we couldn't do that with the comedians.
At first, we thought, well, it went so well last year. Yeah, let's just invite all the same people back.
Yeah, but then on further reflection, we realized.
Maybe not.
And there's so many people. So, yeah, this year, for the Festival Supreme 2, the Metal Years, we got Metalocalypse. We got Cheech and Chong. We got Workaholics Live.
Oh.
We got Margaret Cho. We got the Reunion of the State.
Ooh.
We got Fred Armisen and Bill Hader together in their new show.
Nice.
We got Nick Kroll.
I love that.
We got Peaches. Mm-hmm. We got Drunk History Live. We got Norm MacDonald. Dude, this goes on for like 40 more people.
You might have shot your wad.
You've only begun.
I know.
By the way, already...
And many more.
That's enough of a light-up already, and you're like a third of the way through. It's ridiculous. Janine Garofalo, Comedy Bang Bang, the great Maria Bamford, T.J. Miller, Kumail Nanjiani.
Hey, wait a minute. How can we afford this?
Yeah.
These acts are really huge.
No.
Doug Benson, Jenny Slate, Natasha Leggero, Bo Burnham, the Dan Band. I mean, if you've heard of them, they'll be there at the Festival Supreme. That's unbelievable, you guys.
Nick Thune.
What's Dr. Demento do on stage these days?
You know, Dr. Demento was my personal. I was like, we got to get Dr. D on.
I grew up with him.
He's a personal
to people
hero.
Who have no idea who that is.
Okay. Well, if you were alive in the 70s in Southern California, you knew that Dr. Demento was the king of all things comedy music. Every hilarious song and spoof and parody came out of his loins. I think that was
that where Weird Al
started, I think.
Weird Al got a start there amongst many others.
Did he play the D early on?
No. I think we came.
He regrets that now.
We came after his reign.
His heyday, gotcha.
Yeah. But, he's the king DJ of comedy music, and we just thought we need to have him there, and he was into it. So we're stoked to see him spin. He'll be a DJ.
Tenacious D is also going to be performing along with Kyle. Your band, the Kyle Gass Band, is playing as well, right?
How did we get that gig?
That is.
That's what I wanted to know.
All right. Festival Supreme 2014, Saturday, October 25th at the LA Sports Arena and Exposition Park. It is a one-of-a-kind show, and tickets are going on sale this Friday morning at 10 at festivalsupreme.com. You want to check that out, or frontgatetickets.com. Friday at 10. $99 is all it is. Then there's a VIP package you can get for more. All the details on the website. We'll take a quick break. The D is here. We'll return in a moment right after this on camera. Those Arctic Monkeys are popular, but they're not the greatest band in the world. I'll tell you that, because Tenacious D is, and they are here in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jack Black and Kyle Gass announcing Festival Supreme 2014. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. The show is Saturday, October 25th at the LA Sports Arena and Exposition Park. What do you want people who are just tuning in, guys, to know about the Festival Supreme? Most people have not been to one before. What do they get when they come see you?
Well, they get the greatest lineup of comedy and music ever assembled. Mm-hmm. They get this year we're going with a kick-ass Halloween theme. There's going to be like a terrifying circus of death in the center of our festival.
I like it.
So it's kind of two birds with one stoner.
A circus of
you get the funniest,
death.
Yeah. Scariest experience.
Will
it's a thrill ride.
There be any actual death?
No. Hopefully not. I mean, you never know. There's a lot of people there. You never know.
The Aquabats are playing. DJ Lance Rock is playing. Eric Andre is there. You mentioned Fred Armisen and Bill Hader. Nick Kroll, Cheech and Chong, Margaret Cho, Janine Garofalo, Drunk History Live, Norm MacDonald, Comedy Bang Bang. I mean, it's an insane lineup. And tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Just $95. Go to festivalsupreme.com or frontgatetickets.com. Now, the D is going to be playing. What's your set there like? Do you just come on and do two or three numbers? You do a whole concert, or what do you do?
Well, we are the host with the most. So, we're going to be sort of seen throughout the day,
okay,
doing a little jams and introducing people. But we haven't decided what our lineup will be. We'll probably whip out something fresh and new.
Okay.
Blow people's minds in a new way. That's always the goal. We played last year, and we had a thunderous set at the end. We did a little surprise duet with The Lonely Island. Nice. So we'd like to pull out some kind of a surprise this time.
If we headlined every one of our festivals,
yeah, No, that's a bad look. Yeah, we're not going to headline this time. We're just going to be there, sort of a flavor
pop
enhancers.
In, pop out.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I like it.
Well, I can't help but notice that you're strapped on today, and you have guitars. What you guys want to do something
said.
For us?
Yeah. What? Yeah. I mean, we always have our guitars. Yeah. All right. Ready, Cage? Here we go. This one. This one's called Roadie. Goes a little something like this. Well, it's 3 p.m., time to lug the gear. Got to get it on the stage. My muscles flex, my freaking sweat will save the day. When I check the mic, I freaking check the mic. Check a 1, 2, 3. I plug it in, I make it sound as good as can be. 'Cause a rock is a rock, but the road is a roll. Gotta take the mic, I gotta take control. Gotta get that gear up on that freaking stage. 'Cause the roadie knows what the roadie knows. And the roadie knows that he wears black clothes and he hides up in the shadows of the stage. Because the roadie looks 1,000 miles with his eyes. And when the crowd roars, brings a teardrop to the roadie's eyes. Tears of pride, because he brought you the show. For you will never know, he changes the strings while hiding in the wings. No matter how hard, the show must go on. Then a beautiful girl come to me, she says, hey, can I nibble your nips? I say, yes, I am in love. But then she quickly say, I nibbed your nips. Now give me that backstage pass. I do not want you, roadie. I want to take KG home. Oh, I'm standing at the threshold of your dreams. Without me, there'd be no sound from those amps. Without me, there'd be no lights on the stage. But you don't apply for me. No, I am the roadie. A lonesome warrior searching for his soul. Yeah, I am the roadie. I make the rock go. Roll.
That was only great.
I was looking around for Danny McBride, like in the video. Great stuff, you guys. Tenacious D, the greatest band of the world. And Festival Supreme 2014 just announced this one. Yes, sir.
Sorry, real quick, can I give a shout out to my boys? They're on their way to school right now.
Sure.
My boy Sammy and Tommy. That's my boys. You be good boys. Go to school now.
Kyle, do you have any friends or family you need to talk to on the radio?
A shout out to Evie Peck.
Always listens to your show
every morning.
Loving it.
Well, we appreciate it, boys. And I guess we got all this information up at krock.com for Festival Supreme. We're so honored that you chose to announce it this morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show. It's going to be a great show, October 25th at the LA Sports Arena. Can't wait to see you, dudes.
Thanks man. Love.
Let's get it together, people. It's a world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5 minutes till 8.
Who's cooler than Tenacious D, by the way? No one?
No one.
Bill
Murray.
Ty.
I say Ty. They're together in the stratosphere, but those guys are pretty damn cool. Hey, we'll give you a chance to ask a lawyer coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Yeah, poor Darren's in the other room. Just getting besieged upon for free legal advice.
Oh, really?
It must suck to be a lawyer and just walk into a room and people know that's what you do. That everybody, every jackhole has some sort of problem that they want to get free legal advice on.
The police officer said I was going 80, but
I was going with the flow.
I was just going with the flow. He didn't have radar. What should I do?
How do I get my Instagram back?
They're like, oh, the guy swiped me, took my mirror off, and then I called the sheriffs. And, oh, poor Darren.
Were you translating for him so that he could understand King?
I feel like just coming in there and airlifting him out of there so he wouldn't have to put up with those people anymore. Felt bad. All right, let's get on with the show business, shall we? Before I get to the showbiz beat, I would like to give away a pair of passes to a very cool event. First of all, this movie looks awesome. It's called Maleficent. Have you seen the trailers and commercials for Maleficent? This is sort of a new take on the legendary Sleeping Beauty story. Aurora, as she is known, which I did not know until I had a 4-year-old daughter. Aurora is Sleeping Beauty's name, and of course, Maleficent is the evil queen, and just looks terrific.
Disney's greatest villain, they say.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie, Elle Fanning, starring as Aurora, Sharto Copley, who I love. Remember him from District 9.
Yeah, he's great.
Great cast, and this is a great event. Not only do you get to see the movie before anybody else, movies in theaters on May the 30th, I want to say, but on May the 28th at the El Capitan Theater, they're having the world premiere.
Right.
How often do you get to go to a world premiere with the likes of Angelina Jolie? If you'd like to go now, call me, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers through, get a pair of passes to the world premiere of Disney's Maleficent.
Lisa's not sure.
She's not sold, I guess. Lisa's not sold on that. Fine. You're not going. You don't go.
Come on.
You don't go.
I was just thinking.
No.
Nope.
There's no
thinking involved in that. Just take it.
Speaking of movies over the weekend, big box office numbers racked up by X-Men Days of Future Past. Its debut weekend was the 4-day weekend. $111 million over the 4 days. Godzilla made $40 million, not too bad. Blended, the new Adam Sandler movie, made $18 million. I would like to know who's going to see that movie.
Not me.
I want to have a conversation with those people, and then I want to say, really, did you enjoy it? Do you think that's money well spent? Was that good? Adam Sandler riding an ostrich? Was that what it does? that what does it for you? Really? That's the comedy you're looking for?
Wouldn't it be a disaster? But wouldn't it be awesome if you could actually take your money back if you didn't enjoy it?
I think that should be a policy.
And then see what it made that weekend?
Be minus $2 million. People from other Adam Sandler movies who have gone to see him would come in and get their money back from Blended.
I wonder, Ralph, if there's not a lot out there in the romantic comedy vein. And maybe that's some of the people who went to see it. They're just looking for a date movie or something like that. And maybe it made sense to some people.
I suppose. Neighbors was fourth. And then The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was fifth. Million Dollar Arm, sixth. The Other Woman, Rio 2, Chef, and Heaven is for Real. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West got married.
What?
They got married.
Lack of enthusiasm for this report.
They got married in Florence, Italy, at a 16th century fort. And I think that's the only reason that there wasn't an airstrike called in, because they didn't want to. They didn't want to damage a historic.
They chose
section
that
of land in Italy.
Site, Ralph, partly because it has restricted airspace above, and they didn't have to worry about paparazzi with planes and helicopters.
See. I wish I had been there, because apparently Kanye West gave a 20-minute speech during the reception.
Oh, can you imagine?
I can barely stand it when the best man gets up and gives a 3-minute toast at a wedding.
That seems like it's a half hour.
Let alone Kanye West getting up and doing 20 minutes. In the speech, he did say these words, and I quote, "The Kardashian family are the most remarkable people of our time."
I agree with Lisa on this one.
they are not that.
The most remarkable people of our time.
Yeah.
They're barely people. Come on, Kanye.
If you claim to be a creative genius, don't you have to watch what you say? Doesn't everything that you say have to reflect that, if that is your media tag, media tag?
I think if it comes out of his mouth, he considers it genius.
So it's beyond reproach.
Yeah.
I see. Word is, I'm so sorry for my ancestral home. Word is they got on a plane afterwards and they flew to Ireland for their honeymoon.
Nah.
They're going to be staying at the legendary Castle Martry Resort. This is a legendary hotel. Cost more than $3,700 a night for a room. And they've booked up all 10 rooms of the 7th century manor house. And
they're going to have all their hanger-ons stay there as well. And
what a miserable group of people that work there, huh?
Oh, my God. And the Irish, like almost everyone. Yep. Even they must be just miserable.
How many motherfuckers you done seen with a leather jogging pant?
That's true. You know what you don't see in Ireland? A lot of leather jogging pants. You don't see that in Ireland very much.
You don't see jogging pants of any kind.
No, you really don't.
That's not really even a thing, is it?
It is now. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Carolla is 50 years old today. Todd Bridges. Oh, I think he's the last.
Is he?
He is. He's the last.
He's the last one, yeah.
Last of the Strokes. Mr. Drummond's gone, and Arnold's gone, and Dana Plato, of course.
I didn't even know he's in
Dick Clark.
Dick Clark's gone. Alice in Chains drummer Sean Kinney is 48 years old. Joseph Feinstein's 44. Paul Bettany, soon to be seen in The Age of Ultron, the new Avengers movie. Can't wait. 43 years old today. Jack McBrayer is 41. Andre 3000 of Outkast is 39. And Chris Colfer of Glee turns 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, don't forget, the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014 is sold out, and it's this Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. If you want to go and be in the pit and get backstage passes, we'll give you a chance. We'll hook you up later this morning here on the Kevin Means. You'll get the details at krock.com. This is going to be fun. How a guy who's obviously smart grows up and decides he wants to be a lawyer is beyond me. But that's what happened to our next guest. He is the founder of 1-800-NO-CUFFS, the Cavanocchi Law Firm. He's a TV host, an author, a legal analyst, and he joins us, Darren Cavanocchi, in studio with us on the Kevin Means Show right now.
Yes, more applause, please. Yeah.
Hi, Darren. Let's start with that. You're in an occupation. I'm sure you're an honorable man, and you're very good at it, and you help a lot of people. But the perception for those of us on the other side of the world is that we hate you and you're a bad person.
Well, don't be so hung up on the notion that I'm an honorable man. I mean, first of all, okay. I come from a very non-traditional background to go into this line of work. I knew from a very early age that I wanted to be a lawyer, but life took me on a more circuitous path. So I'm a guy who flunked out of college.
Okay,
and
good.
And then somehow, in the absence of a bachelor's degree, I talked my way into a night law school program.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, mine is not the traditional ivory tower
well
path.
I do prefer my lawyers without an education.
Yes, I've never been accused of being overly smart. So
why is it you think the impression so many of us have of attorneys is a negative one, Darren?
Because it's well deserved. I mean, attorneys take the fun out of everything, it seems.
It's true.
All
with
those
our business.
Long forms and no, I mean, it's funny because I think part of what law school is about is this mysterious learning to think like a lawyer,
right.
Which means just splitting hairs. And I mean, let's face it, people get irritated by that. There's no fun in that. Mm-hmm. And if you're an entrepreneurial type or creative type, it's the lawyer, it seems like, who just kills every good idea. But there's something to be said, especially in the work that I do, which is defending the rights of the wrongfully accused. And if you're a client of mine, by definition, you've been wrongfully accused.
I see. Okay.
You only take innocent people, right?
Yes. Or people who want to be innocent at the end of the legal proceedings. It's important that when it all hits the fan, nobody can help you out like a lawyer. And so if you're in a jam, a lawyer can't help you.
Does it bother you that you know one of your clients is guilty?
No.
And you get them off.
No, not at all.
That doesn't bother you.
No. Being a defense lawyer, you're the one person on the planet whose job it is to look out for the rights of that individual.
Right.
And the rules of the game, and by the way, didn't make the rules,
right.
But here's the rule, that no one is to be convicted of a crime unless the government's got the goods, unless they can prove somebody's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. And if there is any kind of reasonable doubt, then the person is entitled to an acquittal. So I look at the role of the criminal defense lawyer as being government prosecution quality control. So in a sense, it really becomes irrelevant whether I think somebody did it. It's about whether the government can prove it. And frankly, the way that our system is designed, it's far more important that be the function. You know, it's like
we talk
about
keeping the government honest.
Yeah, well, as best we can. And by the way, mistakes are definitely made. You know, there have been over 1,000 exonerations from over 10,000 years of wrongfully served prison years because of new technology like DNA that has actually proved that people have been wrongfully convicted. So it's an amazingly important role for the defense lawyer to really be championing the rights of the individual. And let's face it, everything in the system is designed to screw that individual. You know, the government has limitless budgets when it comes to prosecuting cases. They have every kind of expert at their disposal. And so a good lawyer really can level the playing field.
This is the voice of attorney Darren Cavanocchi here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're going to be taking your calls in a minute. If you have a legal question for Darren at 1-800-520-1067, he is the founder of 1-800-NO-CUFFS, by the way, if you're looking for an attorney off the air. Darren, is the legal system working in this country? And the reason I ask that is I see so many stories about people who don't even want to go to court because of how long it takes and how much it costs.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that is broken about our system, or there's a lot of room for improvement. I heard it expressed this way, that the American justice system is the worst justice system in the world, except when compared to everybody else's. So it may not be functioning perfectly, but there's a lot about it that I find to be incredible in its integrity. There have been a lot of trials lately that have captured national or international attention. George Zimmerman or Jody Arias or some of these big notorious right. cases. And we saw, for example, with George Zimmerman, where everybody was outraged, not everybody, but a lot of people were outraged about the
verdict. Pretty much everybody.
Yeah, pretty much everybody. Well, you know, see, here's another example of lawyers splitting hairs. The moment I say everybody, I think, there's that one guy.
I am considered a lawyer.
But you know, but the one thing that I appreciated about that case is that there were cameras in that courtroom, and from gavel to gavel, everybody in America saw justice being made and saw in that particular case how bad some of the witnesses were for the prosecution, mm-hmm. how misguided and meandering some of their presentation was. And so at the end of the day, regardless of what you thought about the righteousness of that verdict, at least you understood because you saw it.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, Darren, but on your point, I also think even if you were riveted to that trial and watched every minute of it, it's hard to put yourself in the mindset of a juror because they have a very different job to do in the jury box than I do as a guy with an opinion sitting at home on my couch watching it on TV, right?
Well, yeah. And in the court of public opinion, that is everybody watching it on TV, you actually get a lot more evidence than the jurors who are sitting in court. The role of the judge in a trial is like being the referee to decide what evidence gets to come in and what evidence stays out. And a lot of times, especially in these high profile cases, there's all kinds of evidence that the judge says, nope, jury doesn't get to hear about that. But everybody at home does. That Casey Anthony trial out of Florida, that was a perfect example of that.
There's a lot of that.
She had been tried and convicted in the court of public opinion. And there was a lot of evidence that everybody in the court of public opinion got to hear that the jurors never did.
Do you still think the jury is the best way to go, or do you think more cases should be decided by just a judge? And the reason I ask is because of cases that involve jury nullification, like the O.J. Simpson case.
Yeah, I still think the jury is the best way to go. When there is a judge sitting alone, if you're on either side of that equation, you've got to convince 100% of the fact finders.
Right.
In your case, with the jury system, you at least get the opportunity for debate, for meaningful discussion and disagreement in the jury room. You get the collective experience and wisdom of all the people on the jury. We can all cite examples of cases where the jury has screwed it up or done a bad job. I think on balance, though, jurors approach their job seriously. It's not just 12 licensed drivers not smart enough to get out of jury duty. These are people who actually care about doing the right thing. And I think most of the time they really do.
Except for OJ. Right?
Yeah, I think OJ was
guilty as hell.
Amazing.
Let's be honest.
I've talked to people that were involved in OJ, and the best summary I ever heard was from a lawyer who was involved who said it thusly, that the prosecution framed a guilty guy. And it was some of the botched evidence in the frame up and, the whole Mark Furman thing. I mean, And look, ultimately, I think the most important part of any trial is jury selection. Because you can have the best case in the world, but if you don't select an appropriate audience to hear it, your case is going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I think what the defense did a masterful job of in that particular case was selecting the right audience.
Let's also remember that the Juice did rush for 2,000 yards in a single season, and I think that is worth something.
You know what, though? Look, we've got – well, it is, but, you know, look at some of these other high-profile cases. Oscar Pistorius right now, which is a whole – I mean, to the point about
case.
A fascinating case and one where the judge is ultimately going to make the decision.
And he's super guilty, right, Darren?
I think so. I mean, when I look at it and look at the facts of those of that particular case, I look at that and go, oh, my God, you know, that guy does look super guilty.
But do you also think
– But I could get him off.
You also think that? Yes, you do, don't you? Yes, you do.
You know, when you say get him off,
legally.
No. My first idea, see, I've always been a guy that thought about marketing. I had an idea for a TV commercial that was going to be me in my power suit with these girls in prison stripe bikinis writhing around, kind of like a 976 commercial. And the tagline was going to be, Darren Cavanocchi, he'll get you off.
All right.
One way or another. Right.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Darren Cavanocchi is in studio. He is our guest. We're going to give you a chance to ask a lawyer. If you've got a legal question,
bring it on.
Obviously, we're not going to have much time. We'll get to as many as we can, though, as quickly as we can, just for a general overview. Darren will at least try to point you in the right direction. 1-800-520-1067. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock. We are sleeping with the enemy here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lawyer Darren Cavanocchi in studio with us right now. He is the founder of 1-800-NO-CUFFS, the Cavanocchi Law Firm, TV host, author, legal analyst. David, you got a couple of shows over there on the Investigation Discovery Channel, right?
Yeah, I created a show called Deadly Sins, which deals with extreme forms of misbehavior that always end seemingly with a body bag.
Yeah.
Never ends well with people on Deadly Sins. But what we do is we explore really the motivation for the horrific behavior. So it's usually stuff rooted in lust, greed, gluttony, envy, pride, anger, and sloth.
You wade around in it, don't you?
Yes,
you really do.
I'm steeped in misbehavior.
There's not a hot enough shower in the world to clean you up at the end of the day, Darren.
It's a Karen Silkwood kind of wire brush thing.
We are taking your calls for Darren if you've got a legal question at 1-800-520-1067. It's your chance to ask a lawyer.
Hey, lawyer, can we ask you so we can discover?
Calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go through as many as we can, and we'll start with Elena. She's on line 5. She has, I think, a question that will relate to a lot of people. Elena, thanks for calling. You're on with Darren.
Hey. I just wanted to ask, I recently had gotten evicted, and you have to do a legal answer within 5 days. I had no idea what they were talking about.
Yep.
I had no idea even how to talk to a lawyer, much less hire one. Could you tell me, like, what would be the first steps? What do you think you should do once you've been evicted, once you've been served papers?
Okay, so time is running whenever you're served any kind of legal papers, whether it's an eviction or any kind of a lawsuit. It's something not to dawdle with. And so if you want to contact me offline, I know some people that do landlord-tenant stuff. It's not my thing, but I can definitely steer you in the right direction. There's a lot of self-help available if this is a local case or you want to contact your local bar association for some reason. Resources. Go to the Google machine. A landlord-tenant eviction should come up with some lawyers that really specialize in this work. And generally speaking, that's the kind of work where they will charge an hourly rate. But since they know they're dealing with folks who are often in a financial crisis, I think you'll find it to be reasonable. And if you want to contact me offline, I welcome it. Again, it's not my area of expertise, but I can at least help steer you into the arms of somebody who knows what they're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elena. We appreciate it. Let's go to Lauren. She's next. She's on line 1 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask a lawyer with Darren Cavanocchi. Go ahead, please.
Hi. So my sister got beat up by a group of girls a couple years ago when she was 13. And she, now that she's over 18, wants to go back and sue them. And I read that the statute of limitations is 2 years, but if the target was 18, then they have 2 years from then. I just don't know what the first start of the process is in terms of getting this suit underway, potentially because she wants to sue for harm of what happened.
Right. And so what you're talking about is a personal injury lawsuit, if I'm hearing you correctly, right, that she was the victim of this attack. This isn't a criminal situation. She wants to sue for money. And so you want to get to a personal injury lawyer. And injury lawyers, by the way, the number one thing they are concerned with is that statute of limitations.
Which is what?
Well, it's going to vary depending on the type of action it is. So a breach of contract can be 4 years, unless it's an oral contract, when it's 3 years. And for personal injury cases, generally it's a year. But there's all kinds of ways that it can be extended, especially where we're talking about people that were juveniles. Or there are certain kinds of situations where you may not discover the issue for a period of time, and there's all kinds of exceptions. Bottom line is, time is not on your side, and you want to get to somebody as quickly as you can that really knows that unique area of the law. And so what you're looking for specifically is a personal injury attorney, period.
Now, if she goes to Larry H. Parker, can he get her $2 million?
No. I've seen that commercial.
I think you have to be a disembodied head in order to get that kind of money. But actually, that's a great example of the kind of lawyer that you're looking for this particular issue. And you should know that lawyers who take these kinds of cases do it on a contingency, meaning unlike that last caller with the landlord-tenant issue where you've got to pay the lawyer an hourly rate, this is a lawyer who's going to take the case. You pay nothing until and unless they collect for you.
And then they get 90%?
That is actually something to be negotiated. And people don't realize that it's a great point. The contingency fee that you pay, that percentage that the lawyer gets, is something that can be negotiated.
Oh, who knew?
There are very few just general purpose attorneys anymore, right? Yeah. Everybody's a specialist pretty much?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Specialist is one of those forbidden words because there's only certain areas that are recognized by the state bar as an area of legal specialty. But in terms of an area of concentration, yeah, there's very few, unless you go to some remote area where, you know, there's one lawyer in town. The law is too complex and developing too quickly for anybody to stay abreast of all of the different areas that problems can arise.
Makes sense.
We're going to take a break and come back with some more calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to ask an attorney. But let me just squeeze this one in real quick from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Robert writes in. He wants to know if a cop can ask you for your green card. He is a U.S. citizen, but a cop approached him saying he looked illegal. Does he have to show it? Does he have to show papers to a cop on the street if he gets asked?
You know, I think the answer to that – so these kinds of situations can be very fact-specific, but these contacts that people have with law enforcement officers, the reason that people incriminate themselves is because they're consenting to do so. So an officer can approach you and ask whatever he wants, and you are perfectly free to politely – decline that invitation to have the conversation.
So, and most people aren't comfortable doing that because they feel like they'll get in more trouble if they resist or don't agree, right?
Yes, but we're not living in a totalitarian society where people can come up to you and say, you know, papers, please, in a heavy German accent or something. I mean,
for some reason.
Yeah.
So that person can literally say, I'd rather not.
Can say, no, thank you. Well, by the way, we see this all the time in the context of DUI cases, where the reason that people are doing those roadside gymnastic exercises, the stand on one leg and touch your nose and all that, it's because they're consenting to do so.
So your advice is not to, if you're asked to, when you're pulled
my
over?
My goodness, I would say you absolutely do not want to do it. You want to be polite about it. This isn't a resisting arrest kind of situation, but you can politely decline to do those roadside tests. If they ask you to blow into any machine by the side of the road, then that would be another thing that, as long as you're over 21 and you're not on probation already for a DUI offense, I would say politely, hell no, I'm not going to blow in that machine. They're supposed to tell you that it's optional. They're supposed to say to you, I'm requesting that you submit to this preliminary alcohol screening test to assist me in determining whether you're under the influence. A lot of times they'll say, hey, we're going to do one more test. You're blowing this. And the answer is, hell to the no.
So what will the officer do then if you say, no, officer, I politely declined to walk the stripe and I'm not going to breathe into your machine? Then what's he going to do? So, is he going to arrest you and take you off to jail?
They may, but here's the situation. And by the way, this is the question that I am most frequently asked.
I was going to ask you that.
You know, it's like, what do I do if I get stopped? There's two different paths for you to go down. One is if you've legitimately had one drink several hours ago and everything's cool. And there's a whole other situation, which is when you have what I refer to as the oh hell moment, you know,
right.
You look up in your rear view and you know that that date is going to end badly. And you know at the end of it, you're going away in handcuffs. So the question then becomes, am I going to get arrested and give them all the information they need to convict me? Or am I going to get arrested and give my lawyer a fighting chance? And so the answer is, if you know that you have overconsumed and you know that, you know, you've got that oh crap moment, then the answer is you want to decline the field sobriety test. You want to speak as little as possible. You want to decline that roadside breath test. And then, yeah, you're going to get arrested at the end of that conversation. But spoiler alert, you were going to get arrested anyway. Once you're arrested in California, you've got a choice between a blood or a breath test. And I would recommend to somebody to take blood.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It gives you more time, obviously, because they've got to get you to a place where a phlebotomist or nurse, somebody can draw the blood. But more than that, when somebody submits to a breath test in California, you actually have to blow in the machine twice, and the results have to be within a 0.02 agreement of one another. So it leaves the lawyer with two separate breath test results that they now have to fight, as opposed to one needle stick, one blood draw. And most people don't notice this, but when they get their blood drawn for a DUI case, in the base of the test tube, there's this white powder, which is an anticoagulant and preservative. And it's designed to avoid fermentation and all the other things that can compromise the integrity of the sample. Well, no one is testing to see whether there's a sufficient level of anticoagulant and preservative in your particular blood vial before you draw the blood. And so there's a lot of room for a clever defense lawyer to get that blood retested, to argue about things like the lack of integrity in that blood sample. And if you can compromise the integrity of that sample, then you've got a lot of leverage in the case.
Are we bad that I feel like most of our audience was really tuned into that part? Is that a bad thing?
All right, let's take a break. Darren Cavanocchi is here from the Cavanocchi Law Firm. By the way, you can reach, as Darren says, offline. You can reach him at 1-800-NO-CUFFS or nocuffs.com. But we'll come right back. Your chance to ask a lawyer when we return in a moment on camera.
Hey, lawyer.
Can already tell we're not going to have enough time for Ask a Lawyer.
Is that how you save time?
Just get right out of it.
Darren, how much are you charging us for this time today? Because I know that you can't walk into a lawyer's office for under $200.
It's a nice round figure for you guys. Mm. It's absolutely zero. Are you kidding?
Oh, that's nice.
Darren Cavanocchi is in studio with us. He is the founder of 1-800-NO-CUFFS, nocuffs.com, with offices all throughout California and Los Angeles, Encino, Newport, Anaheim, Riverside, Diamond Bar. You're all over the place. TV host, author, legal analyst. We're just taking some general legal questions here with Darren at 1-800-520-1067. Got some good ones on the line. Man, people have questions, don't they? Let's go to Yesenia. She's up first. She's on line four.
People need lawyers. What you got, Yesenia?
Hi, good morning. I'm calling about a child support case. And I'm actually going to court to fight the non-custodial parent. And the court clerk let me know it was all based on just numbers and figures and how much he makes and how much I make. And we had a court date, and I was called telling me that he lawyered up and his attorney had asked for a continuance. Now, if it's just based on numbers, why would he need a lawyer, and do I need one?
Yeah, so here's the deal. Such a great question, because I have people come to me with different flavors of that question all the time. They will get legal advice from a DMV law clerk about, or from a DMV clerk about their driver's license. And here, Yesenia, you're talking about getting legal advice from a court clerk saying, well, this is just all numbers. So first thing is, I would say that when something important is at stake, instead of relying on some bit of information from a clerk, not to knock clerks, they're great at what they do, but what they do is not helping people solve legal problems. So you definitely need to get to a lawyer. And lawyers,
what's he trying to do by getting a lawyer? Is he trying to cut what he has to pay?
Well, probably. Yeah. I mean, but what he's really trying to do at the end of the day is protect himself. You know, a lot of times going to a lawyer, it's insurance for peace of mind. Because at the end of the day, the legal problem is most likely going to get in the rear view mirror of life. at some point, you're going to be past this legal
problem. But the bills last forever. Is that correct? Your law bills.
You know what's worse than the bills? It's feelings of guilt and shame and remorse and anger and regret and all the stuff of, oh my goodness, I should have done this. If only I would have done this. I could have done this. And if you go to a lawyer, then you have none of that emotional baggage, because those financial bills, those get repaid, but that emotional baggage seems to be even more, it's even worse and more corrosive.
Let me just ask for a relatively quick answer to a relatively quick question.
I cannot do that. But
and
yes.
That is, in this case with Yesenia and her ex, aren't the lawyers just going to make a bunch of money and then basically there's a lot less for everybody else?
Not necessarily, especially in areas like child custody where there's not a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of folks that do it on...
The thing is, it's not custody, it's for
child support.
Child support, forgive me. It's not like there's a bucket of money. It's not like the $2.1 billion pot of money. And so lawyers who do a particular type of work, like traffic tickets, that's another one. For example, you can't charge somebody that much money to handle a traffic case. It's based on the volume of cases that you can handle.
Right.
And so any one person is not necessarily going to pay a tremendous amount of money. And by the way, there's all kinds of free resources that are available to people for court appointed lawyers in certain situations, not just for public defenders either. So so you definitely want to talk to either a local bar association for some self-help to see if there is a lawyer that you can at least consult with. You know, consulting with a lawyer is generally a free proposition. So at least go talk to one and then you'll be better informed.
Thank you, Yesenia. We very much appreciate you listening and calling. Do most people go into law because it's a high paying occupation, or do you think most people go into it because they have a sincere need to help people?
It varies, and I think it runs to those two extremes. Mm-hmm. Just like so many places in life, you know, people are not that simple. And I know that there's, just like people that go into investment banking generally are not motivated by altruism. In the court system and in the legal system, there is a great opportunity, though, for lawyer as social worker.
Right.
To really help people in their lives. And I got to say, I mean, that's a component of what we do, where we try and help people through a tough situation, but also to make better choices in their life. And I think besides the bad rap that lawyers may get, and in a lot of cases, deservedly so, within that, there is a huge opportunity to help people.
Well, I am the guys will mock me for saying this, but I am heartbroken that we're out of time, Derek.
I'll come back anytime. I'm serious.
It's been you're a fascinating guy, and you told us some stories off the air about what your life pre getting your act together and being an awesome attorney, what that life was like.
I'll share that on the air with you anytime you guys want to chat. Although maybe it's more for Dr. Drew. I can put my feet up and he can diagnose me.
All right, let me give out the information again. Darren Cavanocchi is our guest. The Cavanocchi Law Firm is available at 1-800-NO-CUFFS or online at nocuffs.com. It has been fun to ask a lawyer, Darren. Thanks so much for coming.
You bet, guys.
Lawyer. Sorry, a little late. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:57.
We want you to join us in the pit and backstage for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 on Saturday. Will you call us at 1-800-520-1067? Give you a chance to earn those tickets with a game. We'll play right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Why so much time for Showbiz Beat? Well, I don't know. I just want you to know that my attorney, Darren, will be contacting you regarding you.
Your attorney, Darren, spoke a lot.
Chilling effect that you're having on my freedom of speech and also my right to earn a living. So there will be depositions taken after the show. Just prepare yourself. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm tired of being pushed around by you, and Darren told me there's another way.
Wow.
I'm going to make a little ching.
Blame it on Darren.
Nah, he's my buddy. He's helping me out.
Oh, I see.
It is Tuesday. Usually we do this on a Monday, but I like to look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the holiday weekend so you can see what people went to see. And apparently they went in droves to see X-Men Days of Future Past. $111 million over the four-day weekend. It's pretty strong. Godzilla made $40 million. What'd you think of that, Bean? You went to see that, Bean. What'd you think, Bean? Why not, Bean? This is America, Bean.
It's okay.
Ugh.
It's okay.
Right? Ugh. Ugh. Bean went to Vegas with his dad and his brother, who both of them hate him, and they wanted to go see this movie.
He was there for 18 hours.
Yeah.
So they figured we can kill 2.5 of those 18 hours if we go into a theater where he can't talk to us.
That's true. That's true.
And I bet it didn't even work. I bet they're sitting there trying to watch Godzilla.
Beans everywhere goes, you haven't lived until you've heard the geese's mating calls.
Which Bean just said during that last song. Yeah,
and they're stuffing popcorn in their ears trying to
play. It was fine. I'm not a fan of all this. This CGI is just so fakey now of the way cities get destroyed now. It just
doesn't look awesome.
Doesn't look nearly as good as the way they used
it. Like actual destruction.
Like, let me tell you, like I saw a little bit of Jurassic Park, Lost World Jurassic Park on TV over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So much better special effects in that movie than in Godzilla. So much better. So much more realistic effects in that movie.
Well, it's because dinosaurs are real and Godzilla isn't.
I'm just saying I feel like we're going backwards with all. I mean, they're trying to make everything bigger and louder. I don't think it's necessarily better.
I like bigger and louder.
I do. Actually.
Maybe Bean, you should have went to see Blended. No CGIs in that. Just Adam Sandler just loving. Just being in love. That's all. That made $18 million over the weekend. Neighbors and Spider-Man 2. At number five, then Million Dollar Arm, The Other Woman, Rio 2, Chef, and Heaven Is For Real. Rounding out your top ten. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West got married over the weekend. I can't say it any better than the people at the New York Post did when they posted the following story regarding the wedding that took place on Saturday. Alert, yawn, Kim Ye weds. Two jackasses got married in Italy Saturday. Sex tape star Kim Kardashian, 33, wed egotist Kanye West, 36, in a wedding opulent enough for Florence's Medici dynasty and tacky enough for reality TV. Olympic athlete Bruce Jenner walked Kim down the aisle. The Republic still stands.
Yes!
Somehow we managed. And while we're talking about marriages, game on. Sofia Vergara and her fiancé Nick Loeb have split up.
Oh, wow. That's a surprise.
Yeah.
They've been together a long time, right?
They have. Sophia revealed on Twitter last Friday that she is parting ways from her fiancé because, in her words, they're having too many problems figuring out how to see one another because their schedules are so packed. She said the problem's been getting worse and worse. It just isn't fun anymore, though they're still close. This is the best thing for both of them right now. If you're dating Sofia Vergara, don't you clear your schedule?
You just go to wherever she is, right?
Don't you just take a calendar and then get a red Sharpie and then just write Sofia across every page of every month of that calendar?
I would think so.
You got your whole schedule mapped out for you there. You know what it is? Sofia Vergara. That's your schedule. That's your full-time job. Douchebag. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Carolla is 50 years old today. Actor Todd Bridges is 49. Sean Kinney of Alice in Chains, 48 years old. Joseph Fiennes is 44. Paul Bettany, 43 today. Jack McBrayer of 30 Rock is 41. Andre 3000 of Outkast turns 39. And actor Chris Colfer from Glee, he is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I can hear you guys. You know
908.
Right? I can actually hear you.
Unfortunately, we can hear you.
Hey, I didn't see The Bachelorette last night. I know P is going to join us in a few minutes here with the report, but does somebody have a drinking problem? Is that what's happening?
Two hours and one sweet, sweet minute of Bachelorette last night, and yes, somebody went full Kevin last night.
How dare you? Very excited to get that recap coming up in just a few minutes. But first, how about we give away some tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast with a game we like to call Where It's At.
Where It's At.
That's it. That's all we got. That's the whole intro.
Oh, Omar is slacking.
I can play it again if you want.
All right, one more time.
Where's that?
This is tickets to the Sold Out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. As I understand correctly, it's in the pit and with backstage passes. Ralph, you're going to be giving these tickets away, and how are you doing it?
Well, in honor of Where It's At.
Where's that?
The legendary song. We thought it would be appropriate to do a game which is all about trivia about Southern California landmarks.
Oh,
legendary
okay.
locations in Southern California. I will give you a trivia clue about that place. All you need to do is identify that legendary Southern California landmark location, and that will be Where It's At.
Where It's At.
And the clue will be backwards, and then you have to name the title.
Straightforward information about that place. You just have to name where it is.
Well, that sounds easy, actually.
It might be.
Might be. All right, let's go to Ken in Lakewood. Hi, Ken.
How you doing?
Ken, here is your Where It's At clue.
Where It's At.
Beverly Hills has this, one of the most well-known streets in the world. Three blocks of overwhelming designer stores like Armani, Gucci, Harry Winston, Louis Vuitton, etc. Where's it at?
I don't know how I know this, but Rodeo Drive.
Rodeo Drive. That's where it's at.
Where's that?
Okay.
You're in the drawing.
Can we just all hear Beck singing where it's at in our heads instead of actually playing it?
No.
It's our theme song, Pete.
Yeah.
Ken is in the drawing to win the Wieners tickets. Who's up next?
Crystal from Walnut. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Crystal. Here's your clue.
Did you say holla?
This is Southern California's second most popular theme park behind Disneyland. It features a movie studio tour, rides, restaurants, and many more things.
Is it Universal Studios?
It is indeed.
Nicely done.
That's where it's at.
Okay.
Where is that?
Let's go to Whittier. Say good morning to Grant.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hi.
Do we have to go to Whittier to say hello
to
Grant?
Well, no. I think we can just...
Okay.
Yeah.
This Southern California landmark features one of the best views of Los Angeles, as well as a massive telescope, planetarium, an array of science and space-themed displays.
Oh, shoot. The planetarium?
That's what I said.
the observatory. The observatory.
We're going to need a little bit more than that. It's got a name.
Bean's already buzzed him twice.
It keeps going. The Griffith Observatory is the name. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Where's that? Sorry, Grant.
He's close.
Pretty famous.
Let's go to Henry in Monrovia.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Henry, this American cultural icon located in Southern California is made of letters that are 45 feet tall and 350 feet long.
The Hollywood sign.
The Hollywood sign indeed,
nicely
sir.
Done.
That's where it's at. Where it's at.
Let's go to Jose in Los Angeles.
Morning, guys.
Good morning,
Jose. Natural asphalt has seeped up from the ground in this area for tens of thousands of years.
The La Brea Tar Pits.
Indeed. That's where it's at. Where is that?
Wow, people know things.
They know stuff
people
about
do know things.
L.A.
Is this the same Letitia that calls every day to try to win these tickets?
Yes, it is.
Well, for God's sakes, win them, would you?
How do you keep getting
through?
Or just
know that you're a loser.
Yeah. How do you keep getting through on the phone? What's your secret?
Nothing. I just call all the time.
All right.
Because we have so many people who've been calling for years and only get a busy signal. I'm just trying to figure out how you always get on.
But fail. You get on, but you fail.
Yes.
I know.
All right.
You're good at dialing, bad at answering.
Found out. Please just pity me and give them to me.
No.
Nope.
Earn it. Here's your clue. The oldest street in Los Angeles is the site of the original Pueblo that was built by 44 settlers of Los Angeles in 1781. What's the oldest street in Los Angeles?
Are you serious? I have no clue.
Olvera Street. Olvera Street is what we're looking for.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's right.
Now I want her to get through.
Olvera Street's pretty famous, right?
Yes,
I'm just saying.
Is.
That's famous for where it's at.
All right, we just got time for one more contestant to get into the drawing.
Stacy in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Stacy. This landmark opened in 1922 and features the signatures, footprints, and handprints of movie stars from the 20s all the way up till present day.
I will say that is the Hollywood Star and Walk of Fame.
No, I'm sorry. The Chinese theater we were looking for. Chinese theater is where the footprints are.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. Where's
that? I feel bad for her.
I do too.
I know what she was thinking. Sometimes it's easy to confuse the two, but the Walk of Fame's blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks long.
Yeah, and it doesn't have signatures and footprints.
Right.
All right, Ken is in the drawing. Also, Crystal, I think maybe Henry and Jose. Is that right? Only one can win tickets. Sold out. Weenie Roast is Saturday. Backstage passes and tickets in the pit. Go to who?
Crystal is our winner.
Crystal. Congratulations, Crystal.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Pit and backstage. I'm glad you knew where it's at. Where's that? Ooh. 106.7 K-Rock.
Oh, we're having fun, aren't we?
K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:23.
Hey, it's time for the Bachelorette Report.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petra's Papa thinking, so he's holding hands. And hugging at sunset, watching The Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about The Bachelorette.
Mighty P, Petros Papadakis, joins us on the phone right now from the very popular Petros Money Radio Show, weekday afternoons on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, P.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are good, P.
P, when I saw you were on the schedule today, I thought it's going to be great to talk about the Kings Blackhawks, talk about the big Dodgers pitching over the weekend.
But you know what this is.
We're not doing any of those things.
No, we're talking about Andy Dorfman.
God, do I not like her,
Ralph. Me too, P. I was just thinking, I was watching last night, I said, she is just such an unlikable person, and she's got that scowl and those little baby teeth of hers.
Oh. She has cheeks like a banquet circuit chicken breast.
Yes.
Just all tough and angry.
I know. She seems so horrible and unlikable. And
so why did they pick her to be the prize for The Bachelorette?
She clowned Juan Pablo, and women everywhere enjoyed her verbal abuse of poor Juan Pablo. It's like beating up a baby seal. And now we're stuck with this chick. They're trying to get it over with. They got back-to-back episodes next week.
Is that right? Sunday and Monday, they're going to burn off two episodes.
Wow.
I think they can tell, like we are, that America is not in love with Andy. But I thought last night's show was pretty entertaining just because of Craig, the tax accountant. I thought he was pretty entertaining, P.
Well, you know, somebody is always – Ralph is right. Somebody's always going to get super faded and act a fool and just, you know, their instincts are going to go horribly wrong when they're drunk and – they're going to make a fool of themselves, and they're going to spend the rest of their lives apologizing. And last night it was this, I don't know, this guy seems to have missed his calling. I know he went into finance or whatever, but this guy should have been a circus clown.
He should have been. The group date was all the guys were brought together by the Hollywood Men Male Exotic Dance Company.
Okay.
And they were taught to be male strippers for her and her friends.
Okay.
And they were performed at this live event that was supposed to be a charity fundraiser. And Craig, I don't think he was as loaded as he was later on in the episode. But even at this point, I think his true colors were starting to come through because he thought that the former baseball player was way hot as they were all learning how to strip. He could not stop talking about how sexy one of the other dudes were.
All right.
Next one, step on up.
Josh is a stud.
Dude, hot in here.
I'm not going to look as sexy as him, but maybe I got a couple more moves. I don't know. Probably not that either. He's kind of the full package.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole thing was deeply awkward. And what I would like to see is, you know, why don't they have the chick strip for The Bachelor?
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I mean, they make these guys idiots of themselves, and one guy gets too nervous and drinks himself to death almost. But why don't we have the chick strip for Chris Harrison and some dudes? You think maybe there might be some complaints about that?
Yeah, we
call reverse sexism.
We never see the girls on the pole during The Bachelor seasons.
Yeah, put them on a pole. That's what they all really want to do on TV anyway.
So this guy, Craig, goes back to the house and just gets blasted. I mean, full Kevin.
How dare you? Shut up, P.
He ends up in the pool with all his clothes on. He is just a mess. And the best part is when he tries to sit down and have some alone one-on-one time with Andy.
You can ask me anything. I'm an open book. Anytime you want, you just ask.
What's your worst thing about your parents?
Oh, my God.
How about that? Boom. Yep.
Craig is annihilated.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing about your parents?
How is that a question that has any good outcome, by the way?
But you know what? She sits there and acts like him getting drunk is like the biggest personal affront. You know, like he just took a crap on her bed while she was asleep.
He did that too?
No,
but
she acted like he did. She wouldn't shut up about it the rest of the episode. You know, this whole thing makes me doubt why I'm here.
Oh,
you know,
if
the guys are just here to party, it's like, shut up. You made him strip. The idiot got drunk. Shut up.
But this is real. I'm here for love.
Oh, God. She's disgusting.
She is pretty annoying.
Are you guys going to be able to hang with this?
With her nose.
Since you dislike Andy so much, are you going to be able to hang with this whole season?
Mind your tongue. We're going to see it through.
But Sunday night and Monday night, you're going to watch.
Last night, the single date she had was with Eric, the guy who died in the parasailing accident.
Oh, wow.
So that was weird watching an entire romantic date with this guy who you know is not around anymore.
Oh, geez.
This season has everything going against it.
I guess it really does.
That guy's teeth shone like the sun, though. They really did.
He does have some beautiful teeth. He did have some beautiful teeth. Yes.
Have you guys picked out somebody who you predict will win?
Maybe the farmer. I don't know.
Yeah, she kind of likes the farmer.
He has a shovel everywhere he goes, which is pretty cool. He's kind of like a prop.
He brings a shovel with him. For real?
And a scarecrow, which I thought was odd. He's always carrying around a scarecrow.
For those of us who don't watch this show, it sounds like an acid trip.
He kind of is, and Chris Harrison is like this weird gnome that's in charge of it all with a big head and a little hand.
Stop picking on Chris. You're so mean. I like Markell. I think Markell is the first African-American guy on the show that's got a chance.
No guy is going to use his passport ever in the history of the show. They never get out of the country.
I'm telling you, he's gonna last for the trip. He's going to make it to the big trip.
I think the farmer's going to win, but ultimately what I'm most looking forward to is coming on Monday next week and Tuesday next week.
Nope.
For a double shot of the Bachelorette Report.
Nope.
We got 4 hours.
I think you can cover both episodes in one report.
I don't think so. I think P's right. We may need three breaks for this.
No, because it looks like she starts to get really upset. I mean, she wants her ass kissed 24/7. And it's not going to happen because her ass isn't that kissable. And it's going to be a long season of her feeling slighted and angry and not worthy of the Bachelorette because she's not.
Mm. She's not. Pretty strong words from the Pete. By the way, I'm just seeing that Sunday night's episode involves a date where the guys all go to see Boyz II Men in concert. So there's a lot to recommend for you all.
Yeah.
Oh, and Boyz II Men, they do like a voice coaching thing.
They mentor
them. They do on The Voice.
Yeah.
What?
But it's the guys from Boyz II Men. Except, you know, it sucks because Boyz II Men isn't Boyz II Men anymore because the dude with the cane that does all the, hey, baby, you know, that kind of talking right in the middle of the song, that guy's gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, if he was there and beat some of these guys with his cane, then...
Now we have something.
Now we got a show.
Yeah, now it's just Boyz II Men.
All right, final thoughts, Ralph. Final thoughts, Pete.
Well, I think this basketball, or what's it, the former baseball player, his brother, this guy might look familiar to football fans, because his brother is Aaron Murray, who's a famous college quarterback in Georgia. She's from Georgia. And ultimately, I think she's just a star effer, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And she's going to link up with this big meathead ex-baseball player. That is my final prediction.
But, P, they allude in the next week's episodes that he might have a secret girlfriend that he's not disclosed. And she takes this seriously.
I'm back with the farmer.
This is for love. This is for love. She's serious. This is for love. Every day, she's serious. This is for love.
All right. This has been the Bachelorette Report.
Next week, two of them. Woo! Back to back.
Episodes.
I'm probably just going to camp out outside like there's like a Coldplay concert or something.
Good idea. You're right. Welcome.
We'll
Thanks,
see
Pete.
You then.
That's a summer song. That's a summer song right there. That's a top down on the convertible summer song.
I agree. And I don't have a convertible.
Just chop your roof off.
Okay.
That's what I did.
That makes me want to do another Kevin and Bean party machine when I hear that song.
Yeah, it does. Woo!
Woo! Woo! Hey, whatever happened to Weezer, by the way? Remember when they were a thing?
Oh, you like the Weezer? Hey, right? Man, you like the Weezer?
Just saying, they're about due.
Well, maybe if you weren't buying bootleg copies of their music, they'd still be in business. Maybe you hadn't run them out of business, Bean.
Good point. Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Rob is here for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is Tuesday, but let's act like it's a Monday and give you the top 10 movies at the box office from the long holiday weekend. No surprise, X-Men Days of Future Past came in at number one with over $111 million. Godzilla was second with 40. Then Blended, the new Adam Sandler comedy, was third. Neighbors, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Million Dollar Arm, The Other Woman, Rio 2, Chef, which is only on 500 screens in these great United States of ours, still broke the top 10 with $3 million. And Heaven is for Real, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Remember, we were wondering a long time ago, whatever happened to original Journey singer Steve Perry? Guy was on top of the world. We were talking about how the guy, the YouTube impersonator, had
a little Filipino guy
took over as the actual lead singer of Journey, and now is touring with them all the time. And we're like, whatever happened to Steve Perry, the original singer?
Yeah, because he really he left the limelight in the
'80s.
We have rarely heard from him since,
like a recluse.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he came out of the shadows on Sunday night in, of all places, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
At the Fitzgerald Theater there, the band The Eels was playing.
Uh-huh.
And so Steve Perry shows up to see the Eels.
Okay.
And I guess he met them backstage, and they were chatting for a while. And they said, we'd love to have you come out on stage. And they did. The Eels for the night became the world's greatest Journey cover band because he came out on stage and sang Open Arms and Love and Touch and Squeezing from Journey and performed for the crowd
that
came to see the Eels and ended up seeing Steve Perry revisit some of his biggest hits from Journey.
What an odd
evening that must have been.
So fun. Hey, I got a clip off of YouTube of them doing Love and Touch. Why are you rolling your eyes, Ralph?
I'd like to hear a clip if you have one, because I'm curious.
What part of you doesn't suspect that it's possible I really do have a clip of Steve Perry singing Love and Touch and Squeezing?
Go ahead.
How great is male ass?
I'm sorry. I didn't. I guess that was wrong. That's a cool story.
Less cool musical clip.
Miley Cyrus had to get an emergency restraining order.
Oh, no.
Against the fan who told police, I'd rather be shot in the head than not meet Miley Cyrus.
Oh, no.
To which I said, you could have made his dreams come true, one way or the other, and we could have been done with this. But, yeah, she had to get an emergency restraining order. 24-year-old Devin Smith was arrested when he tried to get into a house in Los Angeles that he thought was Miley's but wasn't. You know the victim of this whole story? The dude who owns the house that isn't Miley Cyrus's. How did I get involved in this? This is between you two, crazy person, and Miley Cyrus. Leave me out of it.
And do you think that guy would have bought for a second that she didn't live there?
No, absolutely not.
Not a chance.
Restraining order says Devin must stay at least 100 yards away from Miley at all times. So he must be within tongue's length of her at all times. So that's perfect. She has a long tongue.
She has a long tongue. Mm-hmm.
Very long. Your point. Dr. Dre set to rake in millions thanks to Apple buying his Beats company.
Now, is that official? Is that happening?
Apparently.
I know it's been rumored.
Bloomberg Financial Group, the news group, says that it's going to happen.
Wow.
But this is a story that's going to make you give you an ache right down there in the grapes.
Okay,
this one's going to sting.
All right.
Long time ago, back in 2005, Jimmy Iovine, record producer, Dr. Dre, they get together to work on this design for headphones. Right.
Yep.
They bring in an audio equipment consultant named Mike Klasko. Good guy, comes up with the electronics and the design for the headphones.
Right.
The initial investor pulls out, so as a team, Mike, Dre, and Jimmy all go to Monster Cable, and they agreed to manufacture and distribute the headphones on behalf of these three guys.
Okay.
Here's where the story goes south. Mike never asked for a royalty or part ownership in the Beats company.
Why?
Never dawned on him. Just Why? Never done. Just was doing work for hire, just thought he'd help some people out.
Okay.
He got $30,000. For his work and lunch at a Japanese restaurant, he says. And now Dre and Iovine are going on to recoup millions.
Yeah.
For their part.
Probably
of
billions. Hundreds of millions. Billions, is it billions?
By the way, yes.
So this guy.
Nice job, dumbass.
How do you live? How do you live?
Yeah.
How do you get up in the morning?
Yeah. You could ask for...
How do you not
5%
think? Give me a nickel of every headphone sold. Something. What,
right.
What kind of dumbass is this guy who says, "Yeah, give me $30,000 and I'll whip it up for you." You know those headphones you like so much? I'll whip those up for you for $30,000. Whatever the time he's totally charging these guys $30,000. Woo,
suckers.
I whipped them off, suckers. Yeah.
Ouch.
That hurts. In another unrelated story, just because they had a list of other like boneheaded musical. People involved in music situations that did not take care of themselves financially. Yeah. There's a guy named John Pasch, who was a student at London's Royal College of Art in 1969. And Mick Jagger came around, said, "I want to get a logo for the band made up." So John whips together this logo of a big pair of lips and a tongue coming out.
Right.
And Mick says, "I like that. Here's $500. And the guy says, "All right, cool." And goes away. That logo. They said if he had a penny on each Rolling Stone album that logo appeared on, with that logo, he'd be a billionaire by now.
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard!
So this goes to show you, man. There's no fairness in life.
So don't do anything for free or for cheap for your friends. That's the takeaway here.
Yes.
No, the takeaway is do it, but say,
if something comes
should something happen, a little something-something.
Get the brother out.
Why don't you sign this piece of paper for me, and then we'll all be happy at the end. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Carolla is 50 years old today. Actor Todd Bridges is 49. Alice in Chains drummer Sean Kinney, 48 years old. Joseph Fiennes is 44. Paul Bettany, 43 years old today. Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock, 41 years old. Andre 3000 of Outkast is 39. And actor Chris Colfer of Glee fame celebrates his 24th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Taylor Kitsch on the program.
Oh, he's so dreamy.
So dreamy.
Sorry. That was Lisa's line. I'm sorry.
Come on, guys. Don't leave your place in the script.
Sorry. I got to get a highlighter.
We also have Neve Schulman, the host of Catfish, on the program tomorrow. And we've got your tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, which is this Saturday. Hard to imagine. That's tomorrow.